Tonight's episode of Heavy Meta is brought to you by Face-to-Face Games.
Thank God it's Friday!
The story is true.
Heavy Meta. Heavy Meta.
You got a lot of repressed feelings, don't you, Friday? Don't you, Friday? You got a lot of repressed feelings, don't you, Friday? Don't you, Friday?
Holy cow.
Who the fuck?
Who do you think it is, motherfuckers?
It's Heavy Meta, Maddie Studios. What you guys doing here? You're not supposed to be here no more. We took over. This is our show now.
I'm sorry. I've been drinking too much while you guys were talking.
Yeah, so I'm going to be hardlining Kraken, and that's all I'm going to be doing the whole time. I don't give a fuck. So come on out. See me naked.
My wife is... What? Doctor, I have access to all the hypodermic needles that I need.
Hypodermic needles?
Hypodermic.
Wait.
I want access to hypodermic needles. That's what I want.
He's like literally like he can't deal with like two of me.
I start walking at home and I said, "Fuck you, San Diego."
What the fuck are they gonna put a baby seal with a club in its head?
You can't invite a nigga to the door without, you know, making it true. And I'm gonna say nigga a lot too, because you guys cuss and talk about dicks and shit.
Totally okay with it.
Welcome to Heavy Meta.
But then there's other times where we're just rambling drunk the whole episode, and somehow we still come out with a fucking podcast every week.
He went to turn around and slipped in the puddle, and he fell side of the urinal.
There are rules to a devil's treat, and I still that like I don't know that shit just.
He turns around. I guess I gotta go make me some bagels.
The summer of the movie?
What the fuck? That
sounded like some random ass person. The summer of the movie!
Look, guys, I knew I was coming into what would be like the Lord of the Rings style of podcast. I've got a liter of water next to me. We just cracked a 20-ounce Red Bull, and my wife has made amazing burritos for me to chomp down on the next 3 hours. As I came home today for 5 minutes to tell her, "Hey, I'm doing this podcast. I'll talk to you in about 3 hours." And she gave me
I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
What is up, you little poop diddlers? I'm Kevin Metal.
And I'm Maddie Studios.
I'm Rachel Dumpy.
And I am Tristan Gregson. On tonight, on Heavy Meta, 7 to 8 minutes of talk about magic, I promise you.
Look. Everybody,
Go ahead.
I'm just saying, for all the people that have like fast-forwarded the intro, I'm not putting an intro this episode. You've missed all this talk, so you're going to have to go rewind.
Right.
But
would you say complaints have doubled on the length of the intro?
No.
They've dropped.
The two people that are complaining are just saying it twice as much. Yeah,
exactly.
I've actually had two people today say they like the intro and keep it because they laugh every time.
Hey,
fuck yeah, it cracks me up.
This is the funny thing. There's 2 to 3 people that have said there's 2 people that vehemently dislike the intro, and there's 1 or 2 people that are like, "Eh, I don't really care." Everybody else loves it, so who knows? But anyways, we're not here to talk about the fucking intro, because that's boring. But we are here to talk about it. It's nothing to do with magic. I mean, actually, everything to do with magic, because this is a magic podcast. But first off, I have a shout-out. And that shout-out is to my 2 cohorts, Kevy and Raging Gumby. When I finished editing last week's cast, and I woke up in the morning, and I gotta say this is, hey man, I've been doing this 2 years now. I don't get shocked. I don't, I don't naturally like say, wow, like question my existence or what I'm doing. But I swear to God, you two have taken things like even my wife. Okay, I don't shield Twitter from a lot of people, but my wife, I woke up 6:30 in the morning and I check Twitter and I'm going through and I see, wow, that was a crazy night. And then I go backwards in time because you go back in time as you see all these tweets, mm-hmm. it merge. And then my wife is walking by my office, getting her makeup on, and I push play on a video of Raging Gumby doing some dick dance, and she literally is like, "Hun, you can't watch that shit. The kids are up." And I'm like, "This is from my cast. That's the guys I cast with." And she's like, "You can't cast those people anymore." And then I scroll to Kevy's photo. And she literally says, "Thank you, I am now blinded," and walks out of the thing. And then I get a DM message from, like, people are like, "Hey, man, you really have to talk to Kevy. He has to manscape that shit." And I'm like, "Dude, you can direct those comments directly to him. I am not the manscape figure person telling her of people, but I just,
I am a fucking natural lady. I ain't shaving."
Hey man, it was like 1970s up in that shit. I'm like, shout out to you guys because you have not other cast talk, and this is funny. A lot of cast talk, not us. We act.
No, we just post pictures of the shit on Twitter.
Oh man, those are only a few of the ones that made it onto Twitter. I have pictures of all sorts of stuff, like Kevy and I making love to a Kraken bottle, and
yeah.
I have pictures of the two ladies there being
closer than normal.
Very close. Oh. I know, like a girl on Nerds like sent me a Twitter message. I posted a picture of the beginning of the night talking about playing Cards Against Humanity, and she doesn't comment on any of the dudes in the picture. She's just like, "Those two girls, I'd like to be in that sandwich." I was like, "That blonde's my girlfriend. I have to be involved in said sandwich," and she's like, "I'll arm wrestle you for it." I was like, "Fuck the deal. I don't care." So this is an open challenge. Like, if you want a piece of my girlfriend, you got to go through me.
Hey, I'm a grappler, man. Like, it's an easy way.
Make this happen.
You just win. I mean,
yeah, she'll probably beat my ass. I don't care.
Yeah, you're all right with it.
Oh, gentlemen, though, a huge, huge shout out to you two. That was, that made my day. That is the way I want to start off every Thursday morning.
I am pretty sure that is how Kevy starts his day, because I, like, passed out during the, like, some point during the night, like 2 in the morning or something. I woke up at 4 in the morning. He is at his dining room table watching that Vine video. "I'm gonna beat my dick. I'm gonna get it. And he's busting up laughing. I'm just like, "What the fuck?"
Oh my god, okay, first
I had Rockstar and vodka in me that night. I was like, there was no way I was going to fucking bed. So like, after you and Britt passed out on the fucking couch, then like was fucking Zedagos was we were hanging out, we were gonna play some fucking Magic. Daniel finally is like, "Fuck this, I'm going to bed," because I got out my deck. I was like, "Fuck this, I'm gonna play the deck that I played at FNM. I gotta fucking rematch. I gotta fucking take you down." And I was like, "Nah, this is a terrible idea. I don't think I'm going to be able to play Magic right now." And then he went over and said, like, he was in the fucking living room for whatever reason, and we started watching fucking, like, the bad lip reading type Ninja Turtle fucking videos forever. And then he finally passed out, and I went to go turn on the next one, and he's asleep. And I was like, "Motherfucker, I've seen all these. All right, I'm going to do something else now because I can't fall asleep." And then, yeah, I ended up just sitting at my dining room table looking at shit on the internet. And one of those happened to be just me laughing at your video over and over and over.
Yeah, as I woke up, I was all, "I don't know how I feel about this, but, man, it is funny."
You know what? After you watch it the first 3 times, like 4 or 4 times, then you start to, like, it's funny, but then you're like, "Holy shit, this guy can dance." Like, your cross step is like, I start like, "Wow, that is actually, he's in time and the width moving right." I'm like,
I have rhythm. Even while drunk, I have rhythm. I don't generally use it, but
it's all that grappling experience. I don't know, but it definitely comes through.
That's how I freaking entrance my opponents.
Yeah, you do it with 2 steps.
Because it really unnerves them, you know, when you're dancing around the ring. "I'm going to beat that dick. I'm going to beat that dick. I'm going to get it. I'm okay. I've had people submit. I have never even touched them.
Oh, man, we are not grappling in Vegas. So, gentlemen, it has been a magic week. First of all, if you got to tell me, you guys, looks like you went to F&M and crushed it.
Yeah, no, I didn't. No.
I won. I won F&M.
Yeah.
I went 4-0 with a variation of the blue-white-red burn.
Okay.
It was a little bit more controlling. Had a little bit more top end. I had a Batterskull and an Ajani Vengeant floating around in there.
Nice.
Because I wanted some more high end. Since you're going to be digging through cards so much, you're going to see a lot of cards. I wanted some finishers.
Yep.
But had a couple spell pierce, a couple spell snares. I went with Mana Leaks over Remands.
I agree with that.
I didn't regret it. Every time I was casting it, I was happy to have had that instead of the other card, because I figure with, you know, I had a couple Electrolyze, I have the four Treasure Crews. All I wanted to do was just make sure I could take care of the threats that were going to be a problem, seeing as the only really hard removal I have in the deck is Path to Exile. But other than that, it was much more of a kind of a burn oriented deck, in that I had Lightning Bolts, Lightning Helix, Snapcasters, I even beat one of the most ridiculous matchups, which was Soul Sisters. I ended up beating Soul Sisters with my burn deck.
Which
and
is
then
awesome.
I beat Affinity, and I beat the Mirror.
Okay.
The other matchup I faced, I'm trying to remember. That one was bad, in the fact that my opponent, I think, like, mulled the five both times, so it wasn't even really a game. I think it was four rounds. I think I went 4-0. They don't break to a top eight because our store blows donkey balls. But I pulled a couple fetch lands, a dig through time in my prize packs, and so yeah, it was a pretty good night.
Yeah, it's fun. It's funny. I've also started to play the Cruise Burn deck, and just been playing with variations of it, and I have been astoundedly impressed, more than I can even say, with two cards, Volcanic Fallout and Monetary Swift Spear.
Mm-hmm.
And I have done things.
Monetary Swift Spear should be a new name, because it's money.
That card is money. And that card is crazy. I played Merfolk online, and I couldn't believe it that through Merfolk.
Is this the one with the Kyra?
Yeah. That was the funniest one. So this guy, I play him, beat him. I log on. It's the same guy, and he's like, rubber match. I'm like, sure, we'll play again. I beat him. He comes on, he's like, you're going down. And I'm like, okay, third match, let's do this, right? So he's changing, he's putting cards in, I know, between matches, right? Because, like, I guess the online metagame is a lot of burn. It's very heavy. So everybody's prepared to beat you. And the fact that I could still beat you is hilarious. So Volcanic Fallout and Swift Spear have a great interaction that you can cast Swift Spear. And then you can Volcanic Fallout the board, and she lives, right? Because it deals two damage, but she gets the prowess trigger. I would put her down, and then I just Volcanic the board and hit him anyways. And he's like, fuck this. So in the second game of the third match, he boards in Kira Glasspinner. So he's like, good luck targeting any of my shit. So I'm like, all right. And he's playing Master of Waves and shit. So I'm like, that's cool. So I'm like, well, I don't know what I can rip. I'm at like three life or something. I'm like, I'm fucked. He's got a full board. Like, he's good to go, man. He's full. He's got Master of Wave with like seven or eight elemental tokens, a glass spinner, a merfolk lord, and I got Monetary Swift Spear. That's it, right? And I'm like, Treasure Cruise. Oh, okay, this is interesting. All right, what do we got? A Volcanic Fallout. So I'm like, all right, Volcanic Fallout. So in response, because I've done this to him a couple times, he's like, well, I'm going to freaking Vapor Snag one of his dudes, right? So I'm like, okay. So
he's Master of Waves, wasn't it?
Yeah, Master of Waves. So he Vapor Snags the Master Waves, and, like, I love Moda, right? Because the trigger goes on the stack, and it's like, Kira the Glassbinder says, this spell's countered. And then I'm laughing because I'm like, you can't cast a spell, dude. It's not, because Volcanic was going to get countered, but it can't be countered. So we had that argument that he's like, something's wrong. I'm like, no, it can't be countered. So it tries to counter it, can't be countered. Anyway, so he's like, I'm going to get you, right? So it goes on sack, 10
what
seconds.
What tried to counter it?
Well, Kira, right? Because Volcanic
Kira, Kira
should targets.
Counter that anyway. Volcanic Fallout just deals damage to all players and all creatures, so it doesn't target them.
No, it deals 2 to each.
Yeah, that's not targeting them.
Well, it doesn't matter because it can't be countered anyways. The whole point is, I'm waiting 10 seconds, and the guy's like, oh, fuck, I can just see, right? And so I'm like, so he let the trigger go, board wipes, and then he's like, this fucking bullshit, blah, 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 rage quit, boom, right? So I'm like, all right, well, I go to the frickin' room, and I'm like, next match. And he pops up for a second, and he then disappears, and he DMs me. He's like, fuck you, I'm not playing Magic till you leave the room. So I'm like, dude, I don't die for any more games. I go, you win, you got it, man. Go beat up other guys. But I'm very impressed with that definitely a modern, so I've redeemed a bunch of shit. I think that's the deck I want to build now. I've seen a few versions where you can go, you know, very heavy, just blue-white or blue-red, and then like you did, David, where you go, like, three-color with more control. So I think – I really like Batterskull. I think that's just fucking awesome card to dig good. Through. Yeah.
Anytime I landed Batterskull, I just saw the person just go,
Yeah.
And the funny thing is I only have one in the main deck and I have none on the side. And then they'll bring in sideboard hate for it. And it's like, I killed one guy and he showed me his hand. He had like two wear and tears in his hand. And I was like, oh, wow. So they were siding in like massive amounts of sideboard hate just for the Batterskull. And that was just the one of.
Wow.
So it did double duty in the fact that game one, if you land it almost – like, there's very few decks in Modern other than combo decks that can really handle it.
Yeah.
And then
it spooks you. It spooks your opponent into fucking taking out valuable cards to try to deal with however many Batterskulls you have. Because
exactly,
it's such a fucking blowout. And I mean, I did the same shit playing against Xenophon. Like, I've sided in all my fucking artifact hate to deal with because I lost to Batterskull game one of round one. And I was like, okay, that's it. Fuck that. I am not even playing that game. So I sided in, what was it, fucking 8 cards to deal with that. And, I mean, which was a misplay anyway, but I sided in, like, no, 7 or 8 cards to fucking that deal with artifacts so that I could be sure that when that landed, I could deal with it. And then, of course, I lost that game to my own stupidity.
You should have won that game. When you paid the life or when you paid for the mana for Jataxian Probe, I was like, oh, don't do it. And then sure enough, you drew the burn spell. I was like, oh, dude, if you paid the life, you
didn't. I paid Jataxian Probe because I had nothing to do and I had fucking a couple mana open. I was like, eh. But because I, you know,
you had two lands untapped.
Yeah, I had
you
two.
You had a 3 mana burn or a 1 mana 3 burn spell and a probe. And I saw the probe and I was like, oh god, in my head I'm like, don't pay for it, don't pay for it, and then you tap to pay for it and you draw a lava spiker up.
Never pay for it.
Yeah,
he told me, he's just like, dude, don't ever fucking do that. I was, you know, it was basically out of boredom. I was like, eh, well, whatever. I got fucking man open. And two, I was at that point being somewhat conservative with my life total because, like, he was playing, you know, basically Team Geist. And I mean, he was putting a hurting on me. And so I was like, you know, and also with me playing 4-color burn, like my mana was on point every fucking game I played. I did not have to worry about having the colors I needed, but it is fucking intensive on my life total. You know, if I'm fucking, you know, cracking and playing, you know, cracking fetches and playing untapped fucking shocklands, it's putting attacks on my life. And then he's, you know, he's not like a control deck or anything. So I was like, all right, well, I do have to be somewhat conservative with my life, but it was just a fucking bad play on my part. And what was cool is, I mean, that's what's cool about having like David there is, you know, well, he had the bye the first round. And so he's watching our match.
Oh, that's who I beat, a bye. That's why I couldn't remember.
Yeah. we both crushed bye.
Yeah. You beat the fuck out of that dude.
But, yeah, it was like, it was nice having, you know, as soon as that happened and like he stabilized right then and like when I screwed that up and it was over for me at that point, I was like,
yeah,
all
he
right.
He had a lightning helix and a Snapcaster in hand. So now, after he got to untap, he got a helix your creature,
it was over. Him coming back up, and I was like, yeah, I'm not going to be able to do it. And so, but it was like, as soon as it was over with, David was able to sit there and say, you know, hey, look, this is why, you know, just shit like that. This is why you don't ever fucking pay the mana for a fucking probe. You just fucking take the life, you know, and it's, you know, more of this will help me become a better Magic player.
I always now am counting, like, down to Treasure Cruise. Like, even if I don't even have it in my hand, that's why I'm very, like, always want to make sure that I'm counting the cards in my hand, or the cards in the graveyard, what man I have in the stack. That's why if I have a probe, you know, you're always just like, man, if I'm in burn range and I'm going to lose the game, maybe I pay for this. But otherwise, I'm
that's where I was kind of headed with it, but I didn't do like all the math and be like, okay, these are his outs. This is what I was like, okay, I'm getting low on life and I don't know what's going to happen the next turn or two.
You were at 12 life. You would have been at 10 life if you would have paid for it. And the math was Xenaghost was at six life and he had a three mana burn spell in hand and he had two open mana.
And
Xenaghost had six cards in hand, and so he needed to do the math and go, okay, like, I need to probably kill him this turn. And so
I was worried about my life total going down, and rather than actually doing the math and being like, okay, he's not going to be able to kill me this turn, or, you know, like, I was sitting at 12, he's not going to be able to kill me. Rather than doing the math, I did it the short way, and I was just all, I'm getting kind of low on life, and I've got this open mana, so I'm going to go ahead and pay the mana for it, which was the wrong way to do it. Rather than, like, counting out, you know, actually doing the math in my head, counting out to me, and like, I'm going to survive next turn no matter what, you know, and I might be able to pull a fucking burn spell, and, oh, look, that would kill him, sweet. You know, I just took the lazy way out, which is one of those things, you know, I'm glad it happened, and I'm glad it got pointed out, so it's something a mistake I'm not going to make in the future.
Now, here's a question I wanted you guys to see what you guys are doing. So I've seen two sideboard tech kind of things. One is the Dragon's Claw, the artifact that gains a life every time a red spell is cast. The other one is Core Firewalker.
I went Core Firewalker.
Firewalker is really good.
Yeah, that's what I did too. So that's interesting. I tried the Dragon Claws in the
Dragon Claw is for just the blue red.
Yeah, the blue red build.
Blue red sides.
Well, that's
if you're running white, Core Firewalker is just a strict upgrade because it's got legs, it's got protection from
you've got a body protection, and you get the life off the Dragon Claws.
Yeah.
So it's just a strict upgrade, but blue red can't run it. It's so mana intensive on white. You have to really be, you know,
you have to be
heavy
animal.
White. You have to make sure that when you're fetching, you have access. You can get that white, and that needs to be a priority in the mirror.
Yep.
When you side those in.
Now, are you running 12 or 14 fetches?
Me?
Yeah.
I think I ran closer to 10.
10?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was running 12.
My list is a lot.
I ran four Scalding Tarns.
Four Arid Mesa.
Arid Mesa, and then two or three
Wooded Foothills.
A red fetch land, essentially. I don't remember exactly what I ran. I think it was
Or you can run the red black
Bloodstained Mire or something along those
lines. I'm only running
Myers, the four of Myers, four of Arid Mesas, and one Flooded Strand.
See, I was running the two Wooded Foothills because I can splash Destructive Revelry out of the sideboard.
That card, I used to have such a big boner for that card, and that is fucking sweet. The reason I'm not running that is because that was a big thing when I was running Deathrite Shaman. When I used to just run red black burn, and then I was running Deathrite Shaman in place of Grim Lavamancer, I was like, oh shit, I might as well splash green, and this fucking Destructive Revelry card is fucking amazing, because I was always looking for enchantment removal, because that was back when everybody was fucking packing ley lines everywhere, and I was like, this is fucking sweet, this is awesome, this is better than wear and tear. But then when I got away from green, I didn't have, like, you know, it being a sideboard card, I was like, you know, I don't really need it. And now I've actually thought about it. When I saw that you brought it in, Maddie, in your list, I was like, ooh, man, I'd really like to run that card now in this fucking meta, but that means dropping black most likely.
I think you should drop Black.
Yeah,
I mean,
Black
honestly,
is Black. I, Bump, yeah, is Bump only, is garbage, you know, man.
It's just a black lava spike. You're never gonna cast it for its flashback.
Yep.
And the access to the sideboard tech that green offers you, and you know, it's funny because when you know, enchantments are more prevalent, you know, like Jeskai Ascendancy and things like that, Destructive Revelry is your go-to card, but like robots and things like that, you know, it's just all automatically, it's a strict upgrade to go Ancient Grudge.
Yep.
So it's funny to watch the metagame shift away from Ancient Grudge and more go to Destructive Revelry because of the prevalence of artifacts and enchantments.
Well, here's the thing. Online right now, Leyline is brutal. Like, that is a card. You're going to face four. What I've found in all the battles I've seen right now, as soon as they know you're playing Burn of any kind, they auto four Leyline, and then some guys are like going bonkers and they're running three core Firewalkers and four Leylines.
Well, and that's why I wanted high end in my deck.
That's why the battle skull and things like that. That's exactly high the addition I want too.
It's fucking sweet. And that's what's nice about this deck though. Rather than like I used to fucking have to like fold to Leyline. Period. Like it was I used to. Just
oh
have
no,
to
Leyline in three colors is easy to beat.
But yeah, well, one, you have your removal, but then also until you get that removal in hand, like yeah, that's what's sweet about running fucking Delver and Swiftspear. Like you have a fucking, you have a serious fucking clock. You have them on a serious clock with fucking creatures like that, and it doesn't matter. It's like, okay, cool, yeah, some of my burn spells are dead until I can draw, you know, my answer to that ley line, and then of course those burn spells are just piling up in your hand until you can draw that answer, and then you just unload on them. But what I've found is like people that are playing ley line now, it's just not nearly as effective against me as it used to be because I'm running creatures, you know, relevant creatures, which before I wasn't running so much of. You know, I was running Vexing Devil, which they wouldn't let it survive. You know, I was running, you know, Goblin Guide, which is always a good card. But like with Swiftspear, you know, you can get through. And of course with Delver, of course you can punch through once that motherfucker flips. And so then you're not as reliant on, although it's a burn deck, you're not as reliant on just burn spells. And you're not just sitting there fucking with your dick in your hand the whole game while they're putting their plan together.
Yeah. The other
that's another reason why Young Pyromancer is so good. I run four in mine.
Yeah.
Is the fact that card alone can take over, and you don't care about their fucking ley line as much. You know,
right.
I won off the back of one Pyromancer. I was playing Affinity and I drew a bunch of mana leaks and spell snare and spell pierce, and just I ended the game with the Pyromancer and then like five tokens on the board and just kept them from doing anything and just murdered them with it.
The other,
I actually watched fucking Mildivane posted a fucking screenshot today, I think, of
Lightning bolted himself.
Yeah, he just double lightning bolted himself against the ley line so that he could fucking get two more tokens and fucking hit him for lethal.
That's awesome.
That's the thing. That's why I like, you know, I like Pyromancer and the fact that it gives you an alternate win con separate from just burning their face.
Right, right.
The other card that I tried was Geist. Now, I tried running three in the board, but I
had one in my sideboard. I never sided it in, but I had one in my sideboard just as an homage to you, Maddie.
You know, it's I definitely, though, I mean, I've seen this. I ran Batterskull. I ran two Batterskulls in Green Machine just because the card I feel is, like, you top deck that, you're going to – it gets you back in the game like nothing else. And I think I'd rather – I'm like, fuck Geist. I'd rather run Batterskull – in the sideboard for those, or maybe even the main. I feel that card's crazy. I did want to ask you though, what did you think of Ajani? Like, is he a one of in you in the deck? Or?
Yeah, I have him in as a one of. The one time I played him, I won the game off of it. I just destroyed their lands. I kept them off of creatures and mana leaked any relevant like spell, and then just blew up their lands, and that was game over.
I feel like at four mana he's been so iffy, like
he is me. Like my deck is slightly skewed in the fact that like my local metagame is a little different, like, and I knew that there was gonna be a lot of burn and aggressive decks and things like that. Like, there's like Affinity, there's Zoo, And those are the decks where he kind of shines in the fact that he can come down or lock something down, or he can come down and helix something and automatically give you a life gain and a removal spell. And then soak up damage in the fact that they have to waste resources dealing with him. The other card that I did a one of that was very great for me was I had one of in the main reinforcements. The
timely
reinforcements.
That I had card, one of in the main. Yes.
And with Snapcaster, like that card gave me so much life and made so many. And with Young Pyromancer, like
yes,
it's absurd.
I was actually thinking there's got to be a white red, like build using Pyromancer and tokens. You know, like, cause like timely reinforcements, when I saw that tweet, I'm like, oh man, I used to play that thing like crazy. I forgot how good that card was. Mm-hmm. Oh man.
That card is
just white red is better than playing the best color of Magic.
This could be true. But,
I'm just hoping that if this volcanic fallout craze catches on, that people can start playing Twisted Image in their decks.
I actually ran Twisted Image in my blue red spinner twin.
His opponent cast Twisted Image on his Monastery Swift Spear when Maddie casts his own Volcanic Fallout into it.
Yeah, well, if you're running, look, the whole Twisted Image thing, if you're running that, man, go ahead, you're wasting cards in your deck. I think it kills Spellskite, and that's about it.
Blue spell to draw a card, or just what this Treasure Cruise environment's looking for.
Man, it seems, maybe as a sideboard thing, I don't know. Seems very narrow. I'd want to run a lot of other cards.
It was a metagame call. I don't think it's relevant now, but for a while with Spellskite being running around all over the place, like it was a very, very good card.
The other
and in Splinter Twin, it also cycled. So. Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to guys touch on is there's some crazy tech going on right now on MTGO.
Oh, speaking of fucking crazy tech, real quick, the other thing, the one thing I still can't get off my fucking mind about FNM. Oh, some bastard! I played Affinity. Was it round 3?
And, that's the guy. Oh,
fuck it. Thankfully, David crushed him for me, but it was so bad. Like fucking game one. Oh, game one was
got raped by the Blood Moon.
Oh, yes. You got Blood Moon? No.
Turn one Blood Moons against me. Game two. Like game one was a decent game, but it just it ended up in his favor. He just got out faster than I did. Game two, I'm all motherfucker, it's on. And then he fucking comes out and fucking turn one fucking drops a Blood Moon. And I was like, you son of a bitch. And I've got like, I'm playing Affinity, so all of my artifact hate is in my fucking hand. But that involves like Rakdos Charm. That involves fucking Wear and Tear. That is, actually Wear and Tear I could fucking use. But it's like everything I had a Helix that would have been fucking sweet to gain some of that life back. Because I actually limped along for a little while, only being able to cast my fucking red spells. But oh, dude, I just, the rage in my fucking heart that I felt. I was like, now I know how all you people felt fucking 6 months, a year ago when I found out how much I love Blood Moon and fucking was playing it all the time. But I can't really run it now at this point with running fucking 3 or 4 colors. It doesn't really help me. But I'm just like, oh, okay, so I got rid of my Blood Moons. And then here, like, being on the other side of it is a motherfucker. And being on the other side of it against Affinity, when they drop it on turn one, is something that will fucking just haunt a red mage's dreams. if you're playing Affinity right now, is probably a good time to stick a fucking Blood Moon in your sideboard.
Yeah, it's interesting. A lot of people are fetching for basics. Like,
I played him the next round after that, and I was very weary of it. But I found out that he didn't side them in against me, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah,
that's kind of weird.
That's just.
I mean,
bad.
I played around it, but it would have gotten me cold if I hadn't already known about it.
After that, like, I threw my hand down, like, I was just all, motherfucker, dude. I think I had, like, fucking 12 or 14 damage in my hand, like, that I could have played when the turn he killed me, but I couldn't do anything about it. I just didn't have the fucking mana to do it because I'm stuck on red. I'm all, you son of a bitch! So.
Oh, man. The tech I was going to say is a lot of people are building a Young Pyromancer, Swift Spear, deck with all the Phyrexian spells.
Mutagenic Growth.
I thought I was playing blue red Pyromancer. And then all of a sudden I go to like shock his dude and he's like, Mutagenic Growth. And I'm like, Mutagenic Growth? What the fuck? like, mutagenic growth. Like, I was like, wow, that's, did you go all in? He's like, wait and see. And the guy went all in, man. Everything but the white one. So, you know, I was like, wow, that's.
Apostle's blessing.
Yeah, like, anything to reduce those costs, man, it is.
Well, I think
is
the
crazy.
Only three ones that are legal is gut shot and mutagenic growth.
So, yeah, and probe.
Apostle's blessing costs one. Oh, yeah, and probe. Yeah, probe.
And he was running dismembered just for. Why not, right? Because it's one mana.
Because fucking, yeah. You know, why not kill yourself?
Well, I was just I was laughing because I'm like, wow, like, you're playing against Burns, so your strategy is to, like, beat me first? He did, though. He got me one game, so I was like, wow, that's a fast deck.
Nutty.
Yeah, it's fast, man. So that was something that was really interesting, so take a look for that. But we have show notes tonight, folks, courtesy of...
Fucking show notes.
The man...
Yes. Close this out real quick. I want people to know. I actually did beat one opponent that wasn't the bye. it was my first actual FNM, because I think the only other FNM I ever went to was a long time ago, fucking with Dave, and I think that one didn't fire. It was like, I want to say it was standard or something, but I don't think we didn't have enough people there. It was the only other time I've gone to FNM. So it was the first time I went to FNM, and I beat that Vi dude, and I also beat fucking Tron. So I actually didn't lose all of the games of Magic. So now we will see what happens, because I'm going to try to start going to FNM a little more often.
Yeah, you should.
Now, did you guys get to play Magic in the Crest, or did you have to drive somewhere for FNM?
No, this is here. We actually have an okay group. Like, we'll get anywhere from, like, you know, 8 if it's, like, a draft or sealed. You know, sometimes we'll get 12. But on, like, standard or modern, we've gotten up to 16 or 18 people.
That's not bad.
No, it's not too bad. It's a pretty popular, you know, it's pretty popular here. But most of the players are, like, heavy in EDH and casual, so they don't like to play tournaments as much. But we have a pretty solid group that it's like the same 10 or 12 people that'll travel to, you know, PTQs and IQs and Star City Opens and Grand Prix and stuff. So we have a pretty solid group. I don't think we've not fired off an FNM in quite a while. And I only foresee that getting better once Maelstrom opens up. So.
Oh, yeah, because you'll put more drive into it. That's the one thing I you know, felt like going in there. It was like, okay, cool. You know, that, like, the chick sitting at the counter is just like, eh. Like, when I walked in, I was like, oh, I got to pay for F&M. She's like, oh, I got to see if, you know, enough people signed up first anyway. And then just kind of, like, went back to what she was doing. I'm like, all right. So I went back, and it was just like she came in. Or no, she didn't even come in. She sent somebody else in at one point to tell people to go sign up or, you know, get everything started, and then, like, that was pretty much it. It's just kind of run by everybody that's there, and she's kind of
all the people that come to play, they run it.
Yeah, and like, from what I saw, she just kind of hangs out behind the counter, like, pricing cards on her laptop and shit, and that was about it. And I was like, all right, well, there's just, you know, there's no advertisement to it, there's nothing going on, you know. They just, that Just Imagine's always seemed like that place that, you know, they sell Magic cards. It's a place for us to go to get Magic cards and stuff and to be able to play, which is cool. It's good to have, you know, somewhat of an LGS, but, like, you know, they don't have the passion for the game that, like, David does. So that, you know, when Maelstrom opens, like, there's going to be that more of the, you know, the LGSs I hear about, where the people that are running it and the people that are, like, you know, handling all this shit, you know, own it or are running it, are actual Magic players or people that are into the game that are, you know, are really pushing it forward. They're just kind of like, eh, well, this is a part of our business, you know, so fuck it.
Just imagine if they cared.
Yeah, just imagine if they gave a shit about this.
All right, well, basically, we've got show notes tonight, folks. We've got some interesting stuff going on in the Magic universe. I did want to say, I guess we can start this off. I don't know if TSG put the note. He did not. Magic-related news, or MTGO-related news. We got an announcement on leagues. Guess what?
Yeah, I saw that. Hey, they're not here.
Hey,
postponed.
Read it. You just tell me what it's about, because I sure did read it, but yeah, I don't know what's going on. Yeah, tell me that.
That's such a kid. We got it right. There ain't no leagues.
There ain't no leagues yet.
It was a very humorous article to read that they were like, you know, we feel that attempting to put this out there, or the one quote was, we didn't realize how much work it was actually going to be. And it's just like, wow, that is MTGO dev team right there. That should just be,
like, oh man, this actually seems like a lot of hard work.
Now, the only interesting thing, because, you know, we don't know anything, so who knows what's going to happen. But we do know one thing, which was very interesting. They must have something working enough to put it on the closed beta, which me, Kevy, and a few other people are all part of, which I find very interesting. And supposedly this is in the fucking webpage post, whatever it was. They said that in the first quarter of 2015, so that means February, March, we're going to get closed beta leagues, which if anyone is on the closed beta.
I thought they said it was December. December 15th.
Oh, wait. No, you're right. That's right. Yes, that's right, Kevy. Sorry. They want the closed beta to be testing for the end of the year, real leagues to go first quarter. Here's what's hilarious for anyone who's on the closed beta. If you're not, they're looking for people to sign up, so go sign up because you get to play with free cards.
Or don't, because MTGL sucks.
You can go either way. What I find very funny, though, is when I'm on, unless I tweet people, hey, go on to the closed beta, there's like two people on there, and sometimes they're Wizards employees.
So that's probably why they're still accepting applications for fucking closed beta. They're like, man, like other games, like fucking beta keys fly off the shelf. Like,
I know.
We've been advertising for years that, come on, please come test our game, and everybody's like, nah, that's okay, I'm not into it.
Hey, the last time we went to test, and none of the cards work right. It's just like, well, it doesn't work, so fix it so I can keep testing. No, we're not gonna fix it. Okay, then I'm not gonna test. But what I find interesting though is how are you gonna do a league? Like, I mean, we'll find out, I guess, but if there's two or three people on, how do you test a league?
One of the things that they brought up in the article was, like, that, you know, oh, yeah, we want, you know, like, we want to make sure that, like, our system, you know, the system can take the volume of players we're hoping to have in league.
60
whereas, like,
people.
You know, you've got, like, you know, premier events, we're talking about hundreds, and this, we're wanting thousands, you know, we're talking about thousands of people, you know, putting load on the system, and it's like, you guys still can't get, like, the premier events to work right. They crash all the goddamn time. Mm-hmm. And so why is it now that you're even worried about, like, hey, let's get thousands of people running and putting pressure on the system? It's like, you guys should probably fix the hundreds problem first before you even attempt the thousands problem. But, I don't know. I don't design software, so I guess I'm...
better get on that.
I guess I don't know what I'm talking about.
I just want to know how much longer you guys are willing to be lied to by MTGO. I feel like it's like Power 9 is going to come to MTGO by the end of the year. All right, give us 6 more months. We're going to do something different. Leagues are going to come to MTGO by the end of the year, I promise. Actually, we don't know what the fuck we're doing. Hang on. Try something else instead. Like,
it's not so much about like letting ourselves get lied to, like we're fucking hanging on by a thread, like, oh man, they're gonna bring leagues. I could give two fucks about leagues. What I'm saying is, like, I don't give a fuck whether they're coming or not. When they do show up and they actually work, I might love it. But at this point, like, I'm still on Moto because, you know, as I've said before, I don't always have the ability to just go play Magic. And so, yeah, I want to get on. I want to test my, you know, I'm thinking all day at work. I'm like, oh, I want to fucking put this in my deck. I want to try fucking 4-color burn. Let's try this out so I can go home and I can just do that. And I mean, yeah, the level of competition sucks, but at least I can get on and I can play Magic instead of just sitting there shuffling through my paper deck over and over going, man, I wish I could be playing right now.
Yeah.
But I'm not expecting anything special to come of Moto. I haven't seen it since I've been on the Moto client, since I started playing Magic Online. I haven't seen anything. I mean, I won't even fucking justify by saying spectacular. I haven't even seen anything mediocre show up. So I'm just, you know, I'm like, hey, I have the ability to be able to play Magic at whatever hour of the day, and I'm content with that. Like, you know, it is what it is. I don't really spend, you know, I don't spend money. That's why I I'm out of Standard. I don't play Standard because I'm not going to spend any money on Moto as much as I possibly can. You know, it's like I've got my burn deck, and here and there if I need to get cards because I want to adjust it and fuck with it, like, that's fine because I'm going to be playing this deck for a long time. This is the deck that I love to play. But, like, I'm not going to keep up with Standard or anything like that because there's no way in hell I'm putting that kind of money into cards on Moto because it's fucking terrible. But, you know, it's nice to be able to.
I think you've done the right thing. You've finally altered your expectations, as I've been saying for what feels like months now. I almost think we need like MTG rules of the MTGO universe, and rule one is lower your expectations.
Exactly. That is rule number one, lower your expectations.
Rule
two would put away your credit card because your expectations have been lowered.
Yes, I had to learn that one the hard way.
Listen, this coming from the guy who's selling his cube to buy fucking cards. Come on, man.
Whoa. Not even remotely. I mean, I guess remotely related. They involve
magic.
Not the same at all. First of all, the cube is completely intact. Nothing changes there.
All right.
Second of all,
your cube doesn't crash. The cars might.
Yeah, the cars crash.
Yeah, cube is incrashable. Although I did like the analogy this week of I am the first to publicly try to go power to horsepower.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which I'm a big fan of.
Hey, now, hey. I was gonna say that. Did you catch that? Black Lotus doubled in price just after GP New Jersey. So I hope you got.
Did I catch it? Indeed, I got plenty of private messages offering to buy up my cards, especially because just last week I had like a troll fight on Twitter about what Black Lotus was worth, and I obviously knew nothing, and the people I were talking to knew what they were talking about, so enjoy the dicks you guys have eaten. That one's on me.
You should do like, you know, fucking Medina's fucking Pact of Power thing or whatever. You should just write an article, 4-star city, about selling.
It was funny because I had been talking to a guy I know locally who wanted to buy the whole lot, and he was trying to lowball me because he wanted to buy the whole lot at once. And I was like, you know, I'd really like to do this, but there's definitely like a floor I can't go below just because the whole point of this is to swap this for a 2015 model of a vehicle that's reasonable and not have to work out any financing on it. And I would have loved to have taken – I just wanted to take two pictures. I wanted to get me with cards in one hand and a wad of cash in the other and two people shaking hands, and then the reverse shot of me with a wad of cash in one hand shaking hands with the car dealership in the other. And that would have been my entire
– Your whole art.
I came so close to being able to make that happen, but I've parceled out a couple of pieces now. I've still got some for sale, some beautiful ones. I haven't really raised my prices at all because, again, my goals haven't changed. And my wife, while ecstatic that Lotus went up twice as much in buy price, still has zero as many cars. So I really just need to solve that problem as soon as possible.
Yeah, that was...
a car. And that's going to get pricey. That's like playing standard.
It's just throwing
your money away.
It is almost. Did you guys want to talk about Jersey at all? What do we got?
I will say, and I watched some of it Saturday. I would say Maddie and I kind of watched some of it together, although we barely talked about the matches that were on. But it was exciting to see 4,000 people turn out to play Legacy. I like the fact that it wasn't like, you know, this terrible Treasure Cruise debacle that everyone was afraid of going into it. I really like the fact that the metagame for a lot of players, especially, you know, now that the buy system has changed and not every single named player you've heard of automatically has 3 buys in the event, that a lot of really good players that you do know as household names, wow, it still feels weird to say about Magic players, but those guys aren't walking in with 3 buys, and they have to grind out the early stages, and that also affected the tournament and the way people played. I mean, the fact that I got to watch a match where a Zurn Orb was cast and then lands were sacked with Price of Progress on the stack is the kind of magic that I don't even really get to replicate in cube anymore because I took Price of Progress out of my cube. But I love the fact that cards like Zurn Orb get to see play. I love that somebody misplayed by playing their Jace instead of their Kyranos in the early runs of this tournament. I love the diversity there and seeing so many cards. Even if Burn had the kind of impact on that event early on, that it had such a wide impact on MTGO. Now, obviously, in MTGO, it's having a negative impact on the metagame, in my opinion, because of the fact that, you know, it's cheap, and thusly you're going to see it 60% of the time. After an event like this, you know, it's almost like you have to be able to kind of get through that layer of burn. You have to be prepared for it. You have to kind of go out of your way with sideboard cards, similar to what, like, with Dredge Vintage. All those things were very excited. I unfortunately didn't get to see any of the Day 2 coverage, which, after hearing about how the top 8 went down and, you know, BBD versus the great Tom Ross, I am sad I missed that because those are some great players, and I would have I'll eventually go back and watch it. But the way that event ran, the number of people that were there, you know, not as many, you know, reports after the fact of theft or problems of the tournament like you would expect with something this many people and this expensive stage. My hat is really off to Scratch the Games the way they handled it. They are the premier content provider and tournament organizer for Magic together when it comes to large scale events, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would agree.
Right on, man.
I end up watching the whole thing. I'm huge shout out to BBD for winning it. I think he definitely deserved it. He played stellar. The whole time, I think he did an incredible job. The match with Tom Ross, man, that Tom Ross is a stone cold master of shit.
I fucking love that guy.
He is so good. Like, even watching him play Infect, which, you know, they even talked about it on the coverage, you know, it's like, you just slam all your cards. Well, no, you don't, actually. And just watching him play around cards and just kick ass. Like, that deck looks really powerful. It's always a deck I've looked at in Legacy Modern, and, I mean, I just don't like Infect as a mechanic. I think it's like cheating, but damn, it wins. So,
yeah, no shit.
Could be something. I don't know. I'm
the same way. I always, and I think especially since like when I came into the game again, you know, it was like right after that block, and so I mean it was still fairly new, and it was just I got the, you know, from everybody, it's like, oh man, fucking Infect, that's garbage, and I, you know, as a brand new player, I'm all, what the fuck is this bullshit? You're gonna hit me for 10 and I'm dead? What the hell, man? You know, and so I didn't like it from the get go. But the further along I've gotten, I was like, God damn, dude, that's like right up my alley. Like playing Infect is probably what I would do pretty well, and I just have never really gotten into it. But that's another thing. I've always kind of more recently, I'm like, oh man, maybe that's something I could get into. It's, like that's like a modern deck I could have some fun.
You know what's interesting?
Beatdown comes in many flavors, Kevy. You just need to learn that not all the cards have a red background.
Exactly.
Yeah. No shit.
It's a good stepping stone, because then it's actually a lot more complex than you think, because you have to know you're basically counting damage instead of burn. So it's about like making sure your hands have the appropriate amount of damage. Yeah, it's that live. Hey, any deck you play that's not red is going to help you as a Magic player. So get in there.
Now, Matt, you say you watch both days of coverage.
Yes.
And the big question to me about a format like Legacy is, you know, all we hear about in terms of Legacy is that it's a dying format. It can't thrive. It's slowly constricting itself, and there's nowhere to go. But as a spectator, you know, how would you rate the Magic you watched versus other events of the last year of other formats?
Well, you know, this was interesting. So I'll watch SCG when it's on sometimes. Every weekend, and I usually will watch one or two matches of Legacy, and then I'm like, meh, whatever, it's boring. It's the same shit all the time. But the caliber of play, or maybe it was just that all these unique decks came out, like the No Lands deck, or the Just Lands deck, and just some of the really interesting strategies, and maybe it's Treasure Cruise, I don't know, but everything felt fresh. So I was actually somewhat entertained, by the coverage. I think they did a great job. I think the people in the booth were good. Cedric did a great job.
You're usually a guy that you go to 11 to talk about something you really feel a 7 about, and I feel like you're at a 7 talking about this. So I don't. Maybe it's not having as much of an impact as I was hoping it might have on you to kind of spur the conversation where it's like, was this event and this style or this format so engaging, so much more exciting than seeing Standard over and over and over again, that it's worth dredging up the old conversation where it's like, do away with the reserve list so we can have this more often? Or are you just so far removed from it that it doesn't impact you?
You know what's funny? As Magic has, I mean, since I've been around back in the game, you know, you make the initial complaint, shit's expensive, and then, you know, you save up your pennies and you buy a few cards here and you save up, and it gets to the point where you just, you know, I'm tired of getting beat. So I'm just like, I get it. You know, like, that's not for me. And so, like, I have a very clear line in the sand where it's like, you know, that's fine. And I actually really like that Wizards is like, we'll just print our way out of this with better cards. So, like, every time they make Treasure Cruise, Dig Through Time, Swift Spear, I'm just like, yes! Though I want to see the cards they make now that I can get really cheap change everything. So maybe it'll get to a point, and I think we're very close, where it's the dual lands and Force of Will. It's just those cards. Those cards they need to find a way, or maybe they don't. Maybe they're just like, fuck it, that's just what it is.
I think
right?
We're pretty much there already with a few exceptions.
Yeah, it's just like...
I mean, Ben's promos kind of help the situation out a little bit. Those put more show and tells back in the environment you're not seeing a lot of. They've obviously, Sports of Will is a little bit more awkward because of the fashion in which the Judge promos went out. But they will slowly be interjected. But still, at the end of the day, it really is kind of that mana base things. I mean, Wasteland was reprinted, not that recently in the grand scheme of the format. But I don't know. I mean, I love watching it. I love sideboarding and seeing a cop red. I love the idea know what's going to be in 75. But at the same time, it's hard to say if it means, you know, we should, you know, no one is sitting here complaining, being like, oh, well, a thousand more people would have shown up if there hadn't been a reserve list, which is nice. I'm glad we're not having that conversation.
I mean,
I think 4,000 people is pretty impressive as it is.
I mean, if you just look at modern prices, a modern deck and a legacy deck, I'm talking non-pimped. Okay, let's just use standard card prices here.
I just want Magic cards to do what they're supposed to do and attack and block.
Yeah.
I don't need.
You can spend whatever you want if you want to pimp your deck. I'm just saying, like, the cost of a modern deck and a legacy deck aren't too far off. They're getting closer and closer every time, just as modern gets more expensive. So I feel like very soon, and I don't know when that's going to happen, I just feel like they're going to give, like, they're pushing it. The cards are being pushed. That they have to, right? Like, that's just the natural evolution of the game is going to be more powerful because they can't go less powerful. I know Mauro likes to believe you just wobble around on that axis, but that's not true. Cards keep coming out that are just more powerful than anything else. So maybe we'll bounce off that ceiling of dual lands sometime in the next couple of years, or who knows. So, and for me, once that happens, like, look at Legacy. Half the cards are modern playable, so I don't know. I mean,
the classic argument, and again, this shouldn't be new news to most people listening, is creatures always get better, spells only get worse, and that's kind of how the format has really panned out. Granted, a card like Treasure Cruise has kind of changed that environment slightly, but it's funny because I think that the impact on Modern for Treasure Cruise is actually greater than the Legacy format. And I think the best barometer for that is the fact that, you know, Ancestral Vision is banned, and Ancestral Vision always takes four turns to draw three cards. And I think the analogy is very close to saying, well, maybe the first Treasure Cruise takes that many turns, but then they fuel themselves a lot faster than those Ancestral Visions.
So, I actually had this conversation.
I don't want to go off on the banning tangent, but I definitely think that that defines the earlier format than the older format.
Well, I had this conversation with somebody because they asked me what I thought. After playing with Treasure Cruise and Modern, I honestly think it should be banned, and they should unban Ancestral. It's easily splashable, and it is just inherently more powerful than Ancestral Recall, because in the beginning, in the opening hand, they're the same power level, I would say, in the fact that Ancestral Recall, you're going to have to wait four turns before you draw three cards. Whereas,
you mean Ancestral Visions?
Yep.
Yeah. That's what I'm referring to.
Right.
And same with Treasure Cruise, because you're not going to fill your library up
fast enough
until like turn four or five, or your graveyard, until turn four or five for you to draw three cards. But in the late game, Treasure Cruise is just so much more inherently powerful because you top deck it and you go boom, one blue, draw three cards. It's Ancestral Recall in Modern. It's ridiculous. So I personally think, especially with Dig Through Time being in the format, and Dig Through Time, I watched a video of LSV and a couple other players playing Splinter Twin with Dig Through Time. It's absurd.
Yeah, I know.
You know, Splinter Twin is already filled with so much cheap one cost cantrips and removal and counter spells and everything else. And then they delay you, stall you out until like mid game, and then just Dig Through Time, find whatever pieces they need. If they have one side, they find that and a piece of protection.
Yes.
And then they go off, and you know they're relatively unscathed. You know they can go through it no problem. They know, you know, because of Probe and Peak, they know what you have. They know what they have to play around, and they find exactly what they need, and then they go off. So when you're talking about a format with Dig Through Time and Treasure Cruise, Like, I think one of them needs to be banned, and I think that's Treasure Cruise, mm-hmm. because it's just so easily splashable in so many decks that I already think it has warped the format.
I agree. I agree, but here's my question. Is it the fact that, like, it, somewhat of a balancing point to it is, you know, like you said, Ancestral Vision and Treasure Cruise are the same thing in your opening hand, but then the further along in the game you get, Treasure Cruise is so much easier to cast, but with, like, so much more available, like graveyard, you know, whether it be, you know, graveyard removal, manipulation, whatever, is it as powerful, or is it that much more powerful than Ancestral Vision in the fact that, like, your opponent can interact with your graveyard, your opponent can
interact with,
to get rid of that
Ancestral
stuff.
You can play in the same ways, and you can remand it, but in the same, what you're talking about. What I was saying is then the fact that it's going to warp the format.
Yeah.
Because people are talking about main deck Rest in Peace.
Yes.
And shit like that. And if you're doing that's warping the format, you know?
Just to combat that one card.
Just
like main
to combat
deck.
Treasure Cruise.
I'll give you guys a unique thing. So I go through the Modern Gauntlet every couple months, and, like, you know, on MTGO I have all the decks, and I just keep them built so that I can, like, play anyone, any deck at any time. And I went through, and I was looking at the deck, and, like, okay, do I need to make any adjustments to, like, all these different decks? Wow, half of the decks, I'm like, well, this deck needs Treasure Cruise. And that was kind of shocking that I went through.
I mean, what deck doesn't need to draw cards?
Yeah.
You have three cards for one mana, and it doesn't really matter because if you're not already in blue, I mean, it's obvious when it came down to, like, just what we said before. The fact that I was playing a red, white, black deck and literally just instantly jump ship to add blue to my deck. Like, I'm the farthest from a traditional blue card draw thing that you could possibly fucking think. That was the first thing I did. And sweet, yeah, here we go. This is fucking easy. And the entire format has followed suit. Everybody that can play Treasure Cruise, which is everybody, does.
Well, the two decks that I found, I think Treasure Cruise is, like, yeah, it does its thing. The two decks, though, and David touched on one of them that I found are super scary right now, is Scapeshift and Twin. Dig Through Time is fucking crazy broken. Like, before I played Twin, I played Turbo Twin. I must have 500 games under my belt on Turbo Twin. I haven't gone back yet. I will. I want to go back and start playing it with Treasure Cruise and Dig Through Time.
Turbo or Tarmo?
Well, I played Turbo and Tarmo Twin because it started as Turbo Twin, which was just like the rug version with ramp, and you'd sideboard Tarmogoyf, right? That's what it was. And then people were like, fuck sideboarding, just play with them in the main. And then they became like Tarmo Twin. There's a ton of different variants on it. Anyways, Dig though is crazy in Scapeshift. Martin Brunette was showing me, and I'm like, wow, that is inevitability there. That deck is just, whew. Dirty, dirty, dirty. I think that deck is gonna break out, man, for sure. I think that deck has time to show what it's got. So if you're not having some kind of blue hate or graveyard hate, folks, maybe it's time to look for those Spirit of Labyrinths. I don't know. I don't know what the best hate card is now. Maybe it's Rule of Law. Rest in Peace. Gotta figure that out.
Oh.
Rest in Peace is the one that hoses them the most, but that's one of the ones that is so, like, narrow in the fact of what it does.
Yeah, I wasted my turn, so you could.
I mean, it's real easy to say a card like Treasure Cruise is good because you're not actually, you know, like, the first Rest in Peace you cast against so many decks that are playing Treasure Cruise is still a one for one on a non-existent Treasure Cruise that was cast. Your opponent has to draw two of them and have no chance of casting them for your one Rest in Peace that you played in the game to be as good as the fact that your opponent just happens to have Treasure Cruise in their deck. And that's why, I mean, that's a foolish theory of sideboarding right there. And that's one of the reasons that a card like Treasure Cruise isn't a card that you can easily combat. I mean, I think cards like Scavenging Ooze that are proactive that happen to have graveyard interactions
Remand.
Are better choices. But they don't, yeah, Remand. Again, like, those are good examples of cards that will just become more popular in the format, but they're not certainly be like, well, I have to sideboard against this sorcery that draws cards that's really hard to fight, but I'm going to do it and I'm going to have a good answer to it. That's just, you're just diluting your deck at that point.
I mean, any counter magic essentially is better than Remand because it's just like, they've exiled their graveyard, counterspell, there, I got you.
Well, I mean, if you remand it, they've exiled their graveyard, and then they have that 8-cost spell in their hand, so it's essentially like a hard counter, except for you draw a card off.
But most times they're cast...
Matty has once again shown you why blue is the best color, because the answer he has to the problem is like, well, if you just cast Counterspell, like your opponent's spell... Counterspell it.
Yeah, well, you just stop him from doing that shit. Come on, guys. Let's...
Well, I mean, what are the two main Counterspells in Modern? You're talking about Command and Mana
Leap. And Spell Purse, to some extent.
Well, I'm talking about, like, you know, the higher-end ones, ones that are less narrow.
And, well, Cryptic Command 2 is a big one, but that's too slow, probably.
Yeah, that's heavy, heavy blue. I'm talking, like, you know, in these decks that we're talking about, like blue-red, you know, they run Remands and things.
And Leak.
Yeah, and Leak. And with Treasure Cruise, they can play around Leak fairly easily because they pay one blue and then exile their graveyard, and you go Mana Leak. They're like, well, I guess I'm not going to cast other spells this turn. I'm just going to draw three cards. Whereas if you Remand it, then it goes back to their hand, and they're just like, shit, now I'm going to have to cantrip and do a bunch of other stuff to try and build up to it again, and you've replaced your Remand. So Remand, to me, is inherently much more powerful against Dig Through Time and Treasure Cruise.
And Cruise.
But
that's a good point.
That's an example of a card that's just gotten better because of it. But it's in the same fucking color as Treasure Cruise. Like, to me, Treasure Cruise, one or both have to go. They're far too powerful. You know, Dig Through Time is much more powerful in a combo deck because you find exactly what you want, and it's far more difficult to splash in the fact that it's double blue. But Treasure Cruise is just ridiculous. You know,
still
now that you
me
have
up
all
that these
10
both showed up at the same time too. Like,
yeah,
it boggles my mind. Like, they're just all, oh, here's a couple fucking good blue cards for you guys, because you guys are always bitching about how creatures are getting more powerful and spells are getting worse. Like, here's a couple for you. And in the same fucking set, you were talking about two cards that are just so broken. And, you know, to what TSG said, it's like, well, that shows you how powerful blue is. I don't give a fuck how powerful it is. I'm still not going to play it except for those cards. So
except for the cards that I really like.
Except for the cards that are really good in it.
Well, I hope they don't.
No, it's nutty, man, that they both showed up at the same time. It's like, here's two Delph cards. Like, I don't know. It just makes you wonder, like, did they realize what they were doing?
They're limited design, man. They even said it. They don't care. They didn't even care. They were like, we didn't really test them for Legacy.
They're all, look at all these fucks I don't give.
They're like, we have this cool mechanic for cons limited still. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I hope they don't ban it right away. I want to play with it in Modern for a bit before you ban it. Give me back Jace if you ban those things.
I think they should unban something in response to it. Yeah. I think that there are a few cards
people are talking
that
about,
could be unbanned.
Like
Bloodbraid Elf,
would be great. It'd be no fucking problem.
I don't think Bloodbraid Elf would do shit. I just don't think it's that good anymore in Modern. What's it doing?
I disagree. Well, I mean, it's not doing anything now because it's banned.
No, but like, but against... against the decks that are out there,
what would it do? Like, I mean, like, you know, as a thought exercise, like, what could Bloodbraid Elf do?
It's going to do nothing against... Okay, so look.
It could bring back Jund. It could help bring back Jund.
No.
All of its cards are 2-for-1s, so a Jund deck that has Bloodbraid Elf has kind of the ultimate 2-for-1.
I mean, Treasure Cruise has
even more spells than people.
I don't know.
The fact that you ban Deathrite and that the influx of Treasure Cruise and Dig Through Time has basically pushed Jund out of the metagame. Like, it doesn't exist anymore because Jund thrived off of, like, 1-for-1 and 2-for-1, you know, haymakers, and then dropped a big threat like a Tarmogoyf or a Liliana, and then took over the game. But now with Treasure Cruise, they 1-for-1 you, and then you're just like, boop, three cards, and they're like,
well,
you know what's
interesting? Tarmogoyf, which is a card that they're like, we don't want to ban because it's so iconic, but we need ways to control it. And I feel
Delph, Jace is banned. Why are they worried about banning it because it's iconic?
No, but they want powerful cards, right? But it's not broken. Like, Tarmogoyf isn't broken. It's just a little too good. But isn't it interesting that Delve has reduced the playability of Tarmogoyf a lot? Like, I mean, a lot.
I don't think it's the Delve mechanic that's reduced.
Well, it's the two cards that are so off.
It's the metagame shift.
Everything.
I think it's the card advantage that Treasure Cruise provides. I mean, it only exiles your graveyard. So you're not going to reduce Tarmogoyf to a 0-1 just by casting Treasure Cruise. You might reduce it by 1 or 2 power. It's the fact that Jund thrives off of, you know, one-for-one your opponent, hand disruption, you know, just basically, you know, one for wanting you until they drop a threat that you can't deal with. And now with Treasure Cruise, you can just draw a card off the top, draw three more cards, and then they're fucked.
Yeah, and also Liliana.
So that's what's pushed it out.
Yeah, and Liliana just sucks in a Swiss Sphere environment because.
Well, can we just hold on to Treasure Cruise long enough for Tarmogoyfs to drop in price so that I can just play set and then just then ban Treasure Cruise?
I don't. You're not going to see it drop in price.
Yeah, it's know. Who knows? I would love a set. That would be good. I don't know. It's interesting, guys. Anyways, let's.
I'm just glad I grabbed mine when I did.
You bastard. We got GP Ottawa, apparently, that's going down this weekend, I think it is. Yeah, you guys will be probably listening to us as you're driving down.
Yeah, Kevy, did you get your passport in time for GP Ottawa? Not,
or anyone I know will be driving up.
I didn't know I was supposed to get my passport for
no,
it.
No, it's Toronto. You're coming next year.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's Canada. I was like, ah, man, that's somewhere in Canada, and I don't know where it's at, so I'm okay with it. I'm not with not going.
Product of American education.
God, unbelievable.
Ottawa, that's somewhere in Russia, I think.
And you know what's great is I'm actually really good with geography, just not in Canada. For some reason, I just never picked
Well, then you're not good with geography, dude. That's the entire point of geography is to know things.
I'm pretty good with geography in of course in my own country, but I mean shit, fucking Europe, Asia, Africa, I'm fairly good with geography. But Canada always just what to me was just all oh yeah, it's up there.
It's isn't it one big state?
How many capitals do you think you could name?
Oh yeah, here we go.
Oh dude, I'm not that good with it.
So then you're not good. Then you're not good at geography.
I am terrible at it.
Let me adjust my statement. I used to be really good with it when I was a lot closer to when I was in high school. I used to be really good at it. Now I'm like, I'm still pretty decent at it, but I'm not going to be able to name off capitals because I could probably come up with more than you'd think, but I probably would embarrass myself doing it.
I would embarrass myself highly.
We need to flush out this challenge for next year.
That's cheating. See, if we're gonna do the challenge, like, and I really hate that I'm walking into this like a glass door. But like, if we're gonna do this challenge, it's gotta be now. Because if we push this off till next week, it'll be like, oh yeah, I'll just fucking brush up on my geography.
That's we're gonna give you that advantage.
Last week we had no magic to talk about. I would be like, man. So here's the thing: is I'm even gonna give you a week to brush up on your geography.
You know what I think would be more fun? It's just if TSG randomly asked me geography questions at different times in different casts and just see.
we'll start with the high school basics.
Okay.
The state capitals is a high school basic. And it was funny because like probably a year ago, my niece and nephews, they range between like, well, I mean, I guess zero now, like 0 to 10. And so we always kind of play a little bit of these geography games. And I was surprised. What my score was the very first time off the top of my head, I was going to do state capitals. And now we've revisited a few times with them. And I'm up to like 38 probably without really having to think about it too much. I mean, when I start, the first time I started, I got half, which was like what I was shooting for. But there's a lot of like major, like you think a major city is.
It's major city. See, I think that's where I'd be fucked now is because I used to know the difference. I used to know which ones were the capitals and which weren't. Now it's been so long since I've given a shit that it'll probably just, I'll hear the state and I'll just start thinking of the most popular city in that state and fucking name that one off. Unless I know it.
I'll be really like California, Kevin, and be like, San Diego!
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I know that one. I know it. I mean,
at least San Bernardino, right? That's got to be San Bernardino, isn't it?
Sacramento.
Oh my God.
Please tell me you're fucking with me, right?
Oh, yes, I am fucking with you. No, I told you I'm really good at this game.
All right,
I know geography.
Right, look.
You have 1 week. This time, 1 week from now, we'll do the Kevy State Capital Challenge.
Done. Let's do this.
This is gonna be fun.
Let's see.
Better you than me.
Hopefully the community will help set up the rules and the rewards.
Let's see if the Canadian can beat Kevy.
That would be fucking hilarious.
I'm pretty good at geography.
What's capital of Canada? I don't know. I'm assuming Oakville.
Yeah. Capital of Canada is Toronto. Doesn't everyone know that, man? No, just kidding. Alright guys, well let's talk. So we got GP Ottawa. It's going down. Apparently it's got 800 players already pre-regged. But they're capping it, which is really weird. I haven't heard of...
Apparently Ottawa's a huge place. That's what I just learned.
I mean, when was the last time I heard about capping GPs?
I mean, I think you're going to hear about it more. I mean, there was a cap to a lot of the GPs. There was even a cap in Vegas. They told you what it was going to be.
Well, that was Vegas.
Capacity. Okay, whatever. Well, let's move past that. The point is, every Grand Prix actually has a cap. It just comes up so rarely until the current era of Magic that you really have to say it. If anything, it's going to create a fervor to be, you know, now.
I got to say, right off the bat, this I think is just another one of those fucking Magic player, Magic community hype things. Like, you know, it's because of fucking New Jersey and how big New Jersey was getting, and then the cap thing came into everybody's mind. Now, like, every GP after this, like, the cap thing is going to be on people's fucking heads. They're like, oh, we got to cap this. Oh, this is going to be the biggest GP. Oh, we got to cap this. And so, I haven't heard shit about capping GPs this whole fucking time since they capped Vegas.
Yeah, it's the hype machine, man.
And then, yeah, exactly. It's the hype machine. It's the Magic community being all, oh, yeah, they're going to cap this one. They're going to cap that one because it's a new hot word. It's like YOLO, except for Magic.
Well, there you go. You don't want to cap. Get a cap in your ass.
Was not expecting that connection.
Yeah. Fucking, hey, GP Ottawa got YOLO'd at fucking 1,600 people.
You know, it's funny. There's only 1,800. There's, 800 people pre-reg, so 900 will show up. Come on, guys. Like, whatever. I think it'll be an okay tournament. I think this.
I just think that the cap is front and center right now because it's just like the hot word.
It could be.
Well, I mean, there was also a big cap GP debacle last weekend as well that Maddie kind of glossed over in the show notes. Might help shed some light on Ottawa's situation.
Well, that's Madrid. Come on.
That's Madrid. That's in Switzerland. We don't give a shit.
World geography, I will crush Kevin. No, Madrid.
I think we found our episode title.
Yeah. Hey, man, Madrid is the guy that ran Madrid apparently had all kinds of issues. He's a horrible, horrible, horrible guy. He's horrible.
Is this firsthand information or are you just speculating?
I read Twitter, so it's worth zero. They take that what you will. I've just heard a lot of people badmouth the guy. Apparently, you know, it's Madrid. There's been shady stuff going on there. So, I don't know.
I'll say the last, you know, for quite a while, you know, in the pre-Vegas
era. Didn't they
have
a civil war in Spain at some point? Like,
wow, we're going to do history. We're doing history too? Okay, history and geography. Let's do
it. The largest GP was in Spain. It was in Madrid. It was the legacy format. That had 2,227 players. So we all know how hard it is to get a legacy Grand Prix going, especially a legacy being more popular outside the United States at that point in time. It made a lot of sense that Madrid would have this huge number. Now, in the current era of Magic, flash forward, so many more people playing, why a tournament organizer would have an event with capacity smaller than a GP in the same location years before, that is obviously a little confusing and it's kind of suspect when it's like, come on, you're set up for failure from that point. So these guys were sold out by Friday, and they put over 400 players on a wait list to get into the GP just in case heart attacks or hangovers occurred for those other 1,900 players, which was what was really interesting was Helene kind of tried to come to the rescue to those players, offering them a special Sunday PTQ event only for those people that got on the wait list. What do you guys think about something like that? Is that something that you feel that's fair compensation if you were locked out of a GP?
If I may,
I think it's at least something in the right direction in the fact that they're trying to acknowledge the fact that there was a failing there.
Yeah, like any help Wizards gives TOs, I think is good. If I made a trip and flew down there and that was my thing, I don't know, I'd be like, fuck, why? I mean, where's TSG? Let's go play Cube. Like, I don't know.
Well, okay, yeah, I mean, yeah, for people like you and I specifically, it's not the biggest put out to have.
It's nice.
Happen. However, there was a non-zero number of gold and platinum pros that went to Grand Prix Madrid and were after the 1,900th player. So a PTQ is just as good as a poke in the eye to those people. It doesn't fucking do anything.
Why aren't those guys pre-registering?
I feel like if you're... I don't know. I feel like... Yeah, exactly. I feel
pre-register
like not,
that shit. If you have an airplane
you
ticket,
probably
want to
pre-register before your flight. Unless you're somebody like us who's like, you know what? I'm just going to roll the fucking dice. You know, like, I'm meeting some fucking friends there. I don't give a fuck whether I make the main event or not. You know, I'm just going to go have fun. I'm going to cube. I'm going to fucking meet people. I'm going to, you know, sell cards, you know, on the SCG floor, the fucking, whatever the case may be. No, like, if you're just, like, going for fucking fun, cool, whatever. But if you're somebody, like, I have no fucking, like, I don't feel bad for you if you're just all, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to buy a fucking plane ticket to Madrid, and I'm not even going to think about registering for the tournament until I get there and then see that the thing was capped and they didn't have enough room or whatever. Like, I'm going to make goddamn sure. Now, of course, you know, on the flip side of that, if I pre-register for a tournament knowing that I'm going to spend the money to fucking fly to wherever it might be in the country, in the world, and I pre-register because I want to go play in that fucking event, and then I show up, and they're like, oh, well, yeah, you pre-registered, but you didn't pre-register VIP, and we don't have enough fucking spots, so even though you pre-registered for this thing 6 months ago, yeah, you're not going to be able to fucking play. Yeah, then I'm going to throw a fit and burn the building down. But, I just feel like if you don't, like, if you don't plan ahead somewhat, that's like being like, hey, you know what? I'm going to fucking fly to Madrid, but I'm going to wait. I'm just going to wing it, and I'm going to see what happens with a hotel. I'm just going to see if maybe I could find a hotel room instead of getting hotel reservations like a fucking grown-up.
Yeah, that's just common sense, guys. Come on.
We live in a new era of Magic tournaments, and as much as I laughed about the idea of Grand Prix for 2015 already having pre-registration open for a lot of those, well, not a lot, events in the first quarter, which I was like, why don't I register for tournaments 4 months in advance? I would definitely register for a tournament as soon as I booked a flight for it, because, if the plan is to do this, the plan is to do this. So, yeah, I think we're moving towards a world where, yeah, Friday, you're not going to walk in. I mean, we already eliminated the day of this calendar year, which was a big step forward. But now it's like, dude, just, you know, pay for it online, get it done with. All the TOs are going to move to that system. And it's funny because I remember being, when I was more involved in the Grand Prix system, TOs were looking for ways to desperately try to get players to pre-register because, you know, those are the people that have to book the space and pay for the chairs and tables and all that shit ahead of time. And they would fucking love to know exactly how many people were going to show up. Right. And it's weird that there's this dance where it's like, oh, please pre-register. Well, I don't need to pre-register. I'll just fucking show up like everybody else. You don't need to know if I'm coming or not. I'm just going to be
there. And that's just silly. Like, well, if it's literally like the only time I could see doing that anywhere, I mean, shit, I'm not even talking about flying. Like, if I was going to fucking play in fucking like GPLA or something, like, I'm not going to drive down there expecting to be in the tournament. Like, the only time people should, like, walk in day of, or now that you can't do that, day before and register for it, is if you live down the street, if it's in your local fucking town and you don't give that much of a shit, fine. But, like, again, in the day that we live in, there's no reason not to fucking pre-register for it. Like, unless TSG is going to be selling cards outside the venue to pay his registration fee. The only reason not to pre-register is if you don't give a shit or you don't plan on playing the event. Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me at all
people's plans can change. I would definitely say that some players in Vegas, some players in even, you know, the SVU HQ in Portland may have registered and then not really played or gotten the value they got out of purchasing those registrations that, you know, was kind of forfeited by things we did that weekend. So I can understand the hesitation to be like, well, I don't really know my plans until I meet up with my friends.
Would you rather be out fucking $40 that you pre-registered fucking 2 months ago? Or would you rather be out your fucking $700-$900 plane ticket because you showed up without registering and you got a fucking ticket? Like, I mean, I have no problem saying, like, I'm going to fucking drink a bunch tonight because I don't care about my $40 that I registered for the tournament, you know, or fucking, I don't care that Maddie fucking pre-registered me VIP for Vegas. I'm just concerned about the tournament. No, I mean, like, you know, it's not, that's not that big.
For the record, tournament organizers love Kevin Metal.
Oh, I know.
It's free money.
Trust me. I don't know.
But David is perfect here.
Then all of those guys that drop like that, all those guys that drop like that, you know, then the locals can get in. Like, those people that don't give a shit whether they play or not, or the guys that flew in knowing that they didn't give a shit about the tournament, they're like, oh, hey, we'll see if there's any fucking spots open. But, like, I can't see anybody fucking bitching and complaining because they're just like, I flew halfway across the world for this GP, and I can't believe you didn't have a fucking chair for me to play this fucking tournament. I mean, yeah, I booked my flight 3 months ago, but I just am trying to show up today and pay money in pennies to fucking register.
You fly all that way and show with a sack of pennies. What the fuck?
You're like, Metal, we don't actually accept this currency here.
Yeah. All right, let's get to some good news, because fuck this shit. This is boring.
Whoa.
Hold on, let's just see if it's
registered for GPLA.
What?
David, did you pre-register for GPLA?
I most certainly did.
Okay, and you live what? 2.5 hours away?
I live 3 hours away from L.A.
All right, and you would consider yourself not a Riri?
I would not consider myself a Riri, but I have certainly been called a Riri. And for anybody that has watched that Vine video of me, they might have that opinion of me. What?
Whatever you consider your own mental capacity in life to be, pre-register for your goddamn tournaments in the future. Stop bitching about it. On the plus side, those people have free TQ, which is a lot more than I would have expected out of something where it's like they're trying so desperately to make the Pro Tour this very whole experience difficult to get to, where it's like, oh, we fucked up for 400 people. Fuck it. Throw them a PTQ. We don't give a shit. We can throw those things out like candy.
I definitely think that Wizards throwing that PTQ out there was nice for the players. I think it was a slap in the face to the TO, as they should have. I think if you're going to have a Grand Prix in such a large location,
and not be prepared,
yeah, plan it out. You know, expect to have. I mean, Magic has grown by leaps and bounds year after year. I don't know whether it's grown as much as it has in the United States as it has internationally, but I would assume that the fact that it's grown this much in the United States, that there's been at least marginal increases, internationally. So the fact that they are so ill-prepared that they have to cap it at 1,900 people, I think is a very big sign that whoever the TO was not –
and shouldn't be TOing anything well prepared. In the future.
Yeah, and should not be a TO. I mean, a Grand Prix is a huge thing, and if it was me, I would do my homework, and I would hope and plan for as many people as possible. Like, obviously, you don't want to overshoot it and then, you know, rent out a fucking arena and, you know, buy a bunch of tables that you're never going to fill. But at the same time, like, you would want to aim for bigger rather than smaller.
Well,
so
there's got to be I'm obviously not a TO, but there's got to, you probably know more about this, TSG. Is like, there's got to be some sort of, you know, ratio between it, like, how many judges, you know, per player, like, you know, a minimum and maximum end, like judges, you know, fucking like area of a building. There's got to be, you know, obviously some wiggle room there, whether it's like, you know, you basically need one judge per every fucking, you know, 5 to 25 players, you know, or whatever the case may be. You've got wiggle room there. So it's like, okay, you know, it's not like you have to be like, all right, we're shooting for the stars. We're going to have 6,000 people here and have 25 people show up. I mean, you take the temperature of the community. You look at your community. If you've ever organized a tournament before, you're going to know, you know, especially in your area, like about what this thing is going to turn out. And so then you just plan accordingly from there. Fucking maybe hire a couple extra judges. And then if maybe if you have to eat it a little bit, like, okay, it's not that big of a deal. You're hosting a GP, but to be able to be like,
the head here, where I've never been to a Grand Prix where a tournament organizer has erred on the side of too few people.
Right.
And again, I don't know where projected numbers led somebody to be like, you know, I mean, it's like a concert or selling fucking anything. You're going to have a certain percentage of walk-ups. You know, a Magic tournament is different than some concert tickets where, yeah, you need judges to take care of so many. You need X judges for Y players, and you're going to need so much more hall space. It's not like, you know, concert venues are kind of set.
That's the thing. You don't go like, oh, hey, we're having Motley Crue in this 35-person building. Like, it's not going to happen. unless you're purposely doing it like a fucking invitational would be, where you plan on having a fucking like a very sought after event that's in a very, you know, that you cap it at a very few people, and there you still have to fucking qualify for it. But you don't go like, oh man, Motley Crue's coming to town. Well, shit, we'll have him at the VFW. That should be enough people. No, it doesn't fucking work like that. Like, you know better. This is this, apparently, if you're a tournament organizer, this is what you're supposed to do for a living. And
so
it just
blows me away. We live in an era now where you should really register for your Grand Prix if you have any interest in playing in them whatsoever.
All right.
Yeah,
I'm skipping this next topic because I'm sick of talking about this fucking PTQRQ fucking Grampy shit.
Oh, it's so important, it though. Is... You got to let people know.
Oh, my God. We have RK Post no longer drawing pornography. We have South Park. We have hate fucking people saying faggot and getting fired. we're what are we doing talking about PTQs? Let's get to the meat. Let's get our pants down.
People play magic.
Let's get our pants
people
down.
People buy magic cards based on what Maddie Studios tells them to do, and they need to know what formats to be playing.
Oh my God.
PTQQs go a long way.
They do?
Hey, all this means is it's only 7:30, and we got plenty of fucking road to fucking paint in front of us.
Yeah.
So.
We're in season two of Heavy Met now. We go 3 hours all the time.
Christ. All right, fuck it. All right, fine. Regional projected PTQs and more data on PTQQs. I'm going to sit out this one.
I like how we're forced to fucking do show notes now.
I know. What the fuck is this? Okay, look.
I like
so because it still turns topic, into fucking gonna... ridiculous heavy meta rant.
No.
It's just like, hey, let's start with a topic.
Look, this is not an... Okay, I believe... You tell me, everybody. This feels like
we're
something...
Sitting up. I don't... What happened to... I don't really... When did that happen? Did you do it? Did I miss
it? No. Yeah, we just cut it, man. I just edit it out if it's boring. No. Look,
that whole section where Maddie didn't say anything was real stupid, so we just cut him down.
Oh, you fucking cunt motherfucker. All right, so...
I tried to compliment you, asshole.
Oh, Wilson, thank you very much. You're so sweet. Okay, look.
You're the guy who's been sitting here talking about how an MTGO... Yes. You're like, Ken doesn't want to buy into standard. You're having difficulty finding opponents for modern. You know, what cards should people be buying to get the most out of them in what formats? And the argument that's going down right now about how bad the new PTQQ system is that such high percentage of the events are standard. There's not a lot of diversity in the events that are going on. 82% of America, North American PTQQs are the standard format. That's over 4 in 5. Less of just a 10% are sealed PTQQs in the United States itself, with that number only increasing to 14% worldwide. So, in summation, you're looking at a ton of standard being played as what's considered to be the format to get you to the Pro Tour for what feels like the next 5 months. And all those people that love modern out there are like, where's my modern?
I know.
I can't believe you're not.
Well, no, that is... No, we talked about this before. I mean, this is something that... Look, Wizards had a bad year, and Hasbro's like, dude, up your sales. And they're like, okay, well, we'll just make all the things stand. Like, there's no complaining. I don't know what we can do. I mean, I guess we could yell at Helen. But like, GPs.
And I actually can't say it's a, like, it sucks because, like, I mean, shit, man, I'd like to see fucking modern FNMs so that I could go play in them. So I'm not really, like, dealing with
the PTQ
thing. But, like, I got lucky being able to play in the one the other night. But, like, from, like, looking at what you're talking about, TSG, with these fucking PTQ qualifier fucking things, it's like, it makes sense. It's like, you know, here, like, we got to fucking separate the wheat from the chaff. Anyway, I mean, that's the whole point of this fucking system as it is. It's like, here, you got to qualify and then go to a PTQ and then fucking get to the Pro Tour. And so it's like, why not fuel, like, you know, like add to sales? Like, why don't we fucking, you know, all those cards that are still in, you know, fresh packs that are sitting in the fucking,
exactly,
you know, in the glass
in the
case.
Boosters.
Like, yeah, I mean, like our RLGS, for instance, doesn't have anything that it's not in standard, you know, in packs. You can't go in there and buy like old packs or anything like that. I don't know what it's like in other fucking LGSs because I don't go to other LGSs, but ours is just like, here's the stuff that's in standard and you can buy that shit. And here's all the stuff we're pushing. I mean, obviously Wizards pushes fucking standard. I mean, I hate it. I hate to play fucking old Devil's Acrobat here, but it's
Devil's Acrobat? You just said Devil's Acrobat?
I was trying to serve up David.
I actually really like that new take on it. I'm gonna play Devil's Acrobat. Watch this.
Hey, why is that not a fucking boost?
I don't know. That's awesome. Here's something interesting about the PTQQs. They gave us the ability to have any store have any format they want for F&M. So I feel they very clearly put a line in the sand and said, are you competitive? Then you'll pay. If you're not competitive, then we gave you F&M, Modern Cube, whatever fucking format you want. So that's why I'm not put out. Like, I'm not trying to make the Pro Tour, so I don't give a shit.
No, that's a valid point, Maddie. It's like, here, we're going to give you the ability to, like, broaden your fucking, you know, people that want to go play in tournaments, you know, like, here, let's broaden this up. You know, you could play, you could have a fucking EDH tournament, yeah. You could have a fucking Legacy tournament, whatever. You know, you could do your thing. You can just basically take all of your, like, you know, if I were a store, it sounds like I would be like, okay, cool. So F&M is going to be fucking Modern, fucking Legacy, fucking EDH, fucking, you know, Christmas Cube draft, whatever the fuck I want to do. And then, like, the PTQQs that the stores are allowed to have, then we're going to do those in standard.
You know what, though? The PTQQs, I'm surprised that the split is standard and not 50-50 standard draft. Like, that's a little bit weird to me because I would play in a limited PTQQ.
No. I wouldn't expect them to be 50-50 split.
Really?
But I would say like fucking 60-40. Like, you know,
here's a question for David. Doesn't draft move more packs than standard, or is standard just more profitable for the store owner because of the singles market?
Singles probably.
Yeah, could be.
I don't know.
Singles are hard to move, right? Like, if anything, sealed deck is going to be the best option for stores that have inventory that want to sell it and have it be opened.
I guess. That's a face-to-face question.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, it's a mix. Like, I can tell you from what I've seen, it's much easier for people to bring their own deck and pay $5 for a constructed event for them to come every week and spend $15 or $25 on a draft or a sealed pool. So from what I've seen and what I've heard from people is that they want to do limited, but they only want to do it once, maybe twice in a month, because that's what they can afford. Whereas once they have the cards, then they can play that
good point.
Standard deck.
Well, and it also seems to me it's like you got to look at you also
most value
to look
of your
too,
cards.
Like,
I get it.
Well, no, you also have to look at like how much the store is making off of each fucking booster pack. You know, they're buying them at their cost and they're selling. But, you know, the store's, you know, making a little bit off their booster packs. But then, like, then when you get into the singles market of fucking standard, like, of course, like, all our, you know, one, you're dealing with fucking competition from every store on the planet now with, you know, the internets and shit. But, like, you know, the people that are just like, oh, man, like, I'm one of those people, honestly, like, if my fucking LGS had fucking more than just those couple random fucking singles just laying there in the fucking their little curly Q cabinet, then I would probably spend a lot more money at my LGS on singles because I'd be like, oh, man, I actually want this. I don't feel like dicking with fucking ordering it and then fucking it's showing up. Be like, oh, man, I want to grab this for tonight. That kind of thing. And so, like, you know, our LGS has, like, dick selection for singles. But when you get into a different LGS where you're, like, where you actually have a good assortment of singles there, and then it, you know, comes into, like, okay, well, you edge it up a quarter or a fucking or you know, 50 cents here or whatever. And I feel like they're going to make more money off those people that are like, oh, man, I want to throw these in my fucking sideboard for tonight's fucking F&M at standard. And this is the new tech I heard about on fucking Heavy Meta today. And I'm going to fucking buy...
They lost.
Yeah. I put deflecting palm in hardening scales.
You guys went and bought a bunch of fucking deflecting palms, and it didn't work.
Speaking of deflecting palms.
Oh, shit.
Kevy bought a pack at our store, and he opened a foil deflecting palm and a deflecting palm in the same pack.
That is the universe trolling your ass right there.
Exactly.
Just a metal pack. And literally, I was just telling David, I was all, dude, there's a foil deflecting palm. It's like $3 out in the fucking case. Cause I mean, that's kind of rares that we have. it's like, oh, good. But I was like, oh, there's a foil deflecting palm out in the case, and I was debating on buying it just because I like that card, you know, and hey, it's a foil, I can throw it in the cube. And I was like, but then I don't know if I want to, because I don't know if I want that card in the cube. He's like, yeah, I don't know, I probably wouldn't buy it. It's probably not a good card for cube. I'm like, yeah, you're probably right. And then I was like, oh man, I'm probably not gonna win anything tonight because I'm getting my ass kicked. I'm gonna go buy a couple packs, crack them, because fuck it, I'll make myself feel better. And yeah, I open a foil deflecting palm and a deflecting palm in the same pack. Fuck, crack me.
That pack
was built for me.
Well,
I mean, if it had a lightning bolt in it by some reason,
yeah, miss pack. I want to play Devil's Acrobat for a minute.
Oh God, I love Devil's Acrobat.
Yeah, well, you know, like I'm not going to counter your point, but I'm going to do some really awesome flaming backflips. Hey, if there isn't a Twitter handle called the Devil's Acrobat tomorrow morning or Friday morning, you fail, SVU.
I think I might be changing my
mind. You fucking bastard. All right, well, let's talk a little bit about some more interesting stuff. So apparently, as we know, RK Post is a huge favorite of ours in terms of his incredible, beautiful art style, but also his wickedly devilish sense of humor. But it looks like he's no longer talking about or tweeting about his R and X rated stuff. Now, I don't know if he got Steve Argyle'd by Wizards there and told not to do this shit anymore. Does anyone have any inside info on this, TSG?
I thought it was kind of surprising to see, because maybe I don't follow close enough, but I didn't realize he may or may not have been under any scrutiny. I definitely know RK has done some very impressive dicks that I have seen in the past.
Hell yeah.
You know, a lot of those were years ago. And as Magic grows, so does the width of the community. And with it, you may not want to be doing that. I don't know. I mean, it's obviously a strong move for him to do, since he does the convention circuit a lot. He sees a lot of people. But I was surprised that he came out and made a statement about it.
I think he's just doing that publicly. So Wizards is like, okay, good job. But I bet if you asked him, it's a private commission. What the fuck? So, I don't know. If that's what Magic has to do.
Not all those private commissions stay private, though.
No, I know. That's why I followed him on Twitter. That was, like, one of the best things.
They do if they got private parts on them.
Well, they didn't. That's the thing. Twitter and private parts, they're like jelly and donuts, man. They go together.
Yeah, did you see Kevy's avatar the other day?
Yeah, right.
I have seen way too many things from Kevy that want me to play more Devil's Acrobat. But, I mean, I guess it is what it is, right? Steve Argyle had to stop doing it, and I guess Post is there another – who?
I guess the broader question is –
Somebody
how
must
do you
take
feel
up the
about
penis.
I was going to say, who's the next –
Yeah, somebody needs to pick up
who's
the
penis next
penis.
Dirty brush we go to, like –
All right. Well, I was okay.
Stephen Raffel.
I hear what you said. Makes sense.
So. Right? Like, there's you're
Magic the Gathering artists within earshot of this podcast. Who will draw the best dick in
you
the future
can't
now?
Stop our
oh
dicks.
Yeah, you can.
All right, you cannot stop our dicks on our cards.
Look, you know what? There's a guy. Look, there's one artist that will always draw dicks. You know who his name is? Stick Figure Kevy Metal. He will draw you, and then he will censor it.
Yeah, that's true. I always censor my work.
I love looking at the mat. He drew everyone's dick, and then he put a big black bar. He's like, no one can see this. It's just
yeah, I don't want people
it's
to
too graphic. That's what RK Post should do.
I mean, just because I know quite a few of these people personally that really enjoy a nice throbbing cock altar, it does raise the question: who is really the audience here? Because I'm much more of a fan of original Magic the Gathering artwork, as is. That's what, you know, that's what I see when I play the game most often. That's what I want to keep coming back to. What's your guys' interest level in the, the Bukkake Curse of the Damned or all these other cards that go around?
That is a hard question.
That
is
going to
go in deep
question.
On this answer.
Is your answer going to have a well-rounded girth to it?
It's going to be heavy. And
it'll
it's
have
going
the dirt
to...
of a tuna can. Whoa. I just said
I'm
that.
Hung
back.
Like a tuna can. you ruined my fucking pun montage.
I just said that. I just said the
fuck
turf.
You, Devil's Advocate. Fuck
Devil's
you.
Acrobat.
I just said the Turth of a Kuna can, and you didn't fucking pick up on it.
It's because I am fucking hammered drunk, all right? I tried to say Devil's Acrobat, and I said the right word. That's how drunk I am.
I just changed my Twitter handle to that shit.
Look.
By the end of the night, I'm going to be the Devil's Acrobat, and it's...
Yeah, the Devil's bad. Adderall.
Look, I...
Devil's Viagra.
I mean, I don't want to see, like, I'm not going to pay money to have my cards altered to be pornographic, because, like, I'm like you, I want to see the original artwork, but I do enjoy looking through a binder or two, especially at Portland, of some of the very, very graphic alters. They were humorous. They were very humorous. I don't get off on that shit, though.
Like, I had all sorts of fucking plans. I wanted all of my RK postcards to have, like, sweet-ass dicks on them. And now I can't.
Because not just regular dicks.
All of RK post dicks are fucking sweet ass dicks. Like, I'm telling you, I don't even fucking know.
That's high praise coming from the Devil's Acrobat.
Look, I'm just saying, Kevin.
They all sweet ass dicks. You don't even know, dog.
Kevin, you know the next thing.
I could tuck them for
the
days.
The next tattoo you need. No, the next tattoo he needs to get his dick tattooed by RK post, or just get like, because your dick would be so awesome. It's an actual penis. But it looks like an RK post dick.
Hey, I'm gonna get my dick tattooed with a dick, so you can see my dick.
So you can see my tattooed ass.
Yes.
And then we're just gonna get an exhibit. The only difference is it's gonna be silver, and the veins will be
dog. Yo, dog.
I heard you like dicks, so I had RK post put a dick on your dick.
It's
so
like
you can beat your dick when you beat your dick.
It's dickception.
It's dickception.
It's dickception.
Straight from the mouth of the Devil's Acrobat. All right. So, speaking of
we're going off the rails and we haven't even delved into the Twitter hole yet.
Oh, God, the Twitter hole's horrible tonight. Okay.
Oh, this is getting good. How many episodes we get in before we just start the Twitter hole and talk about it for 3 hours? By hour one, we're just fucking laughing uncontrollably. Just easy, like Patty's wheezy laugh. Fuck, her running joke is going on. Fucking PSG's just like, I'm abandoning all hope. And I wonder how many people are still going to actually listen to this shit. They're like, I thought I was going to stop listening to this show when TSG got on the show. But no, you're wrong. They're going to stop listening to this show when TSG is the only voice of reason and he gives up.
He's going to start his own separate podcast.
We were pretty close to that last episode with DJ Diddleboots.
That's true. He started it, so he just added it into the
whole thing. Oh, no, that was...
I still do not know how that title was interjected into that, because I've never thought of that imagery.
Well, let me tell you something.
Well, I remember, as drunk as I was, like,
still turntable, if you think about it.
DJ Diddles is a Dane Cook reference.
Oh, that's terrible. Oh, that
Kevy threw poops on the end of it, and then fucking Maddie was all pooping diddles. And then Kevy said something about chronological.
Look, the best quote in that entire cast was when TSG just says, "Hey man, if you do your deed in the pot and then you drop your hand to center stage and just finish the job." And I was like, that right there, that quote alone, it has just made you infamous. Infamous, man.
Well, I think the diddle yourself to freedom is the one I've heard the most.
Well, that has other uses, right? Like that, I could say, you know what, man? I'm going to do this drywall. I'm going to put it up. And then I'm going to get my spray foam. I'm going to diddle myself to freedom when this job is done, you know?
All I can imagine is just some like chick on the pot just going Braveheart on freedom! Like that's what I imagine when I hear that.
Diddle myself to freedom.
Just paint herself blue for to take the dump and just diddles herself to freedom.
Oh man, I don't even know. We need a separate cast that runs that just dissects the meaning of our previous cast and like have that taught in colleges. What were they getting at when they said to diddle ourselves to freedom? Were they looking at society and how it's such in a state of shit right now and that, you know, I don't know, maybe we could go there. But there is another
that make us sound way smarter than we are.
Yo, fuck yeah. Are you kidding? The devil's acrobat? He needs all the help he can get. Okay, so there's another show, which I find, obviously Magic's getting, you know, more popular, which is awesome. There's a movie coming. But I think South Park this week, and, you know, a lot of people either hate South Park or they like it. It's obviously a very defining or dividing show. But the fact that they're going to talk about Magic the Gathering, and I have very high hopes that this episode is going to trash the living shit out of Magic, and it's going to be all about Crackgate. There better be a Crackgate joke in there. Like, these guys better do their homework. This better not be no, like, we didn't do our homework, we don't really know what Magic is. I want detailed nerd references. I want this to be good. Now, you guys heard anything about this?
I'm pretty sure they will, judging off of the World of Warcraft.
Oh, that is golden. Did you read the trolls?
Ma'am! Ma'am! Peep! Bathroom!
Respect my authority! The funny thing is, I love when I was reading people, and they're like, hey, man, most people watch South Park, they realize that it's satire. And, you know, that World of Warcraft thing, it probably did a lot for their brand, right? It reached a whole new market. And then you read the comments under the YouTube video, and it's people saying, no, man, those assholes, they fucking destroyed WoW, man. And there's, like, people are like, I don't watch it anymore. In fact, I don't watch anything on Comedy Central. And, like, they're just, like, going head by head. They're like, no. So I'm like, all the nerds in Magic are going to get upset. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of them. I'm sure there's going to be some bad stuff. But people, may I give you just a small little reminder? This is comedy. It's a joke. So don't go all fucking crazy, man. Don't be on the Twittersphere the next day going on a holy crusade trying to diddle yourself to freedom.
I'd say,
yeah, fuck it. Why not? We need something to talk about next week. Please go crazy.
Fucking go on a crusade.
Call your local senator. Get him out here.
Cryptic command the episode. Fucking bounce it back to their fucking hands. Don't let it go on
cryptic
air.
Cryptic command their episode. Sweet. Yeah, we were going to play the episode, but I don't think it's on yet, is it? Sir, wait.
Might be for you. It's not for us.
It already came through the East Coast by the time we're having this conversation.
Well, I'll watch it tomorrow.
You missed the
bus.
We
fucked up. All right, people. Now, I don't know if Kevy has anything to say on this or he's passed out. Not sure.
I don't have shit to say.
He's like, fuck this.
I don't know what you're talking about.
He's trying to figure out how to take the cap off of Jamison's. Right.
I can't figure this thing out. It's reverse threaded.
Yeah. Oh my god, wouldn't that be like the ultimate? Like, dude, are you weak or what?
The worst fucking troll. That would be fucking actually pretty rad if you had a liquor company and you're like, I'm gonna reverse thread the cap just to be.
My god, let's make a liquor called Troll. And then the caps are all put backwards. Oh man, Troll liquor.
Yeah, it's just called Troll Whiskey, and it's rum with the cap on backwards. Yeah.
And it has an arrow twist this way, so you're damn it! Or just put a childproof cap on that shit. No one will ever drink it. So this is the time in heavy metal when, you know, we get down, we get deep, we get real. You know, we strip back a lot of the layers, and we...
Oh,
I was going to say, before we get to the Twitter hole, well, it's kind of a hole. I don't know. Apparently, Star City Games fired some guy because he tweeted, like, bad words, which...
Oh, no.
I don't think it was so much the bad words as the reference to, like, if these people died, it would be, you know, more beneficial. He referenced the Holocaust.
Oh, did he? Oh, well, that's just
a great reference. Yeah, I read an article about this guy, and it, like, this guy was like, holy crap, this guy is an idiot. And he, like, posted a bunch of this guy's tweets about, you know, like, fucking what women go through is worse than what Jews went through in the Holocaust. And it would be so much better if all these, like, people just fucking died. And
this is like taking, like, oh, I'm gonna stand up for women and piss off the world.
So Jordy Tate.
Yes, exactly. He's like, I really want to impress the vagina, so I'm going to ostracize everybody else, and in turn also ostracize all of the vaginas. Like, this guy is an idiot.
Turns out he was just he's just trying to impress this Jewish girl that works in a cubicle next to him.
I mean, here's the crazy thing, and I've said this before. I see people getting fired for using the word faggot or something stupid, and yet Heavy Meta is on episode 104. How are we allowed to catch? Is it because no one listens to us, so like no one complains?
Nobody listens to us.
Nobody listens to us.
Like,
no,
are we genuinely full of hate, though? I don't think that's...
I don't think the guy was full of hate, was he? I thought it was a random tweet. I don't know. I don't know the whole facts.
Oh, no. It wasn't? This guy has multiple tweets. Like, he went off on...
Oh, yeah, he lost the gasket. He fucking was, like, doing backflips like the devil's acrobat, man, on Twitter. He was going crazy. Mm. He must have...
And
all
this isn't
caps.
The first
I mean,
time.
He put his... Do you know, like, when you get on Twitter, right, and you put your cap locks on, and then you just start typing? Like, that guy was that raging. And it was just going on and on for, like, half a day.
We were talking about
it. It wasn't just that. He was just highly... He was highly fucking stupid about it, too, because rather than talk to SCG...
He goes straight
to
Twitter.
Like,
brilliant move, dude.
He went to SCG and like looked for his articles, and he was looking for the author reference point or whatever, and thought his personally had been deleted, and everybody else's was still there because of his Gamergate stance or whatever, which was like Holocaust vagina. That's his stance. That's what I'm calling it. The Holocaust vagina. But what he did was he called out SCG and basically, was like, oh, I saw you deleted my, author's reference point. So, I'll just take this as a, you fucking hate me kind of thing. And thank you, go suck a dick, basically.
So he wasn't even fired? He just lost it?
No, he hadn't written for them in years. He hadn't written for them in years.
Two different people.
Oh, two different people? Oh, fuck.
David is talking about Grody Tate, whatever his name
Jordy
is.
Jordy Tate.
And whatever shit went down with him a couple weeks ago. That guy.
Yeah, I'm talking. Yeah, he's a piece of fucking garbage. We're talking about the guy that just... Hinckley, right? Alex Hinckley.
Yeah, Alex That's Hinckley. He said something stupid, was an idiot, repeated said idiocy over and over again out loud. And Sarcy Games is like, maybe it might be obvious to you or not, but we don't really want to be associated with you or anything you've written. Peace out, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, so this was just someone being an idiot.
Yeah, separate instances. You know.
And I mean, like,
well, then I feel like an idiot too.
Dude, like, here
I am referencing Holocaust vagina.
Yeah, for no reason.
Randomly said faggot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's different and similar at the same time, so take it as you will.
It is not different and similar at the same time, dude. It is vastly different.
No, I mean, I think there was a level of ignorance to both of them, but let's be honest, the other guy was far more ignorant and hateful than this guy.
This guy was just pissed. But here's the thing.
Let me retract the Holocaust vagina situation for Alex Hinckley. You're just an idiot. Sorry for that, for associating you with that other fucking idiot, the hateful one. The Holocaust vagina idiot.
Those are two different idiots.
I think it comes down to like, hey, if you're a content provider in a website that, you are choosing to take the high moral ground and put out a top quality product that, most people respect and love and cherish, then that's good,
Then you're not on Mana Deprived.
Exactly. Then there's Mana Deprived, which is like this, free for all fucking shit show. But
yeah, they just let you do whatever.
There's not even judges here. No, we're kidding. We love Mana Deprived. Don't kick us off. We love you guys. Free blowjobs.
We fucking love you, KYT.
Free Asian blowjobs.
I also think that.
Wait, what's the difference between an Asian blowjob and a regular blowjob?
Tiny mouth.
Is there a difference?
I don't know.
TSG's like, hey, man, I don't want to get fired yet. I'm not going there.
It's whose mouth you put it in. That's the only difference.
Okay, who here knows what an Armenian, what is it called? An Armenian
You're asking us a question and then you ask
No, 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 I remember now. It's called an Armenian assembly line.
Oh, God. I don't even know where
I know, like, Armenian is. I don't know what differentiates their assembly lines from any other.
No, it's a sexual act. It's called the Armenian assembly line.
Oh god.
I've heard of like Arabian sand goggles.
No. So the Armenian assembly line, it goes like this. So it's like, you know, like the girl is in front, and then like, you know, there's a guy, then, you know, the other guy, and then the guy. And then the guy says, well, hold on, wait, where's the girl?
Wait, how many guys?
So
are
there's like, the girl is in the front, and then there's a guy, and then there's like another guy, but then, you know, you're in the last of the train, David, so then you would ask,
Whoa, I'm not in
Yeah, no, you are.
You got one too many guys in there.
This is an Armenian assembly train or whatever.
Don't throw me on an Armenian assembly line. There's no guest dicks in my show.
Okay, the whole point is this. The girl is in the front. Actually, no, the girl's in another room. It's three guys in a row. So, like, the whole point of the Armenian assembly line is...
Don't put me in this train. This was a dream that Maddie had. This isn't even something that's real. This is just a dream that Maddie had. He's like, wait, no. If I remember correctly, I was in the middle of the assembly line. There was a girl in the other room. There was three Armenian dudes. And then...
So finish telling what it is, but don't insert me into the situation in any way, shape, or form.
Put heavy metal in there. It'll work.
Yeah, Kevy will do it. You've seen the meme. He'll talk
and
roll.
That's the TSG. That's the TSG. Right. You've got a guy and another guy behind you, but the girl is in the other room. No, wait, no. There's no girl. It's just three guys. Wait, there is a girl, but she's probably on a phone. But it doesn't matter. The point is the Armenian factory worker line or whatever the hell it is. The whole joke about it is, so someone was trying to tell me this, and again, it was like hilarious, and it's all off of this Kevin and Peely, or Key and Peely, joke where it,
oh,
yeah, Key or Keel and Peely. Keel and Peely.
Alright.
It's Pele. Pele and Queso. Oh man. Oh look, he found it. It turned the assembly line in the Urban Dictionary. I love how he does the research as we're telling the joke. That's sweet, dude.
I know, this motherfucker is awesome.
Oh no, the whole funny thing was they were trying to get this guy to come into the act, and he was like, well, I'm only down if I'm number one in line. And they were like, yeah, no worries. And he's like, well, hold on, where's the girl? And every time he asked where the girl was, they kept like telling him something else. It was pretty hilarious. And he's like, well, there isn't even a girl. It's fucking just you and 15 guys. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. See, I just read the...
I'm just reading this assembly.
I guess the Armenian part is just tricking someone in the act into thinking there's a girl involved.
Exactly.
How that got attributed to the Armenian people, I don't know.
I was watching Conan.
Apparently they can sell ice to Eskimos. I don't know.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, it's...
Because I just read assembly line, and that don't insert me into that situation.
Hey, look, it's better than the Mongolian refrigerator move or something like that. But so, yeah, okay, so we're going.
You lost me at there was a dude and then another dude and then a girl in a room somewhere else. Like, nope, you lost me.
There is a girl.
See, I would be okay with a girl, and then a dude in another room.
The girl,
you flip that.
It's the prize, my friend. You win.
Yeah, if you can get through the assembly line, you get the girl.
Kevy is apparently partially Armenian. He's done this before.
Oh, the Mongolia beef eater. What the fuck is this? He's finding shit. Okay, I'm going to read. What is a Mongolian beef eater? Jesus Christ. Right.
One who enjoys the act of cunnilingus and willfully disregards excess air or smell on the beef curtain. So if somebody was to eat Kevy while he was tucked, that's a Mongolian beef eater.
That is a Mongolian beef eater.
Wait. What are beef curtains? That's the real question you need to be asking yourself.
I don't know. You never heard roast beef curtains before?
No. What the hell are roast beef curtains?
That's when the lips are a little more used, abused, or loose than normal.
Oh.
Or just gentrian.
That paints a pretty picture.
Oh, see, I thought that was when you shit through your ass hair and it made a curtain.
No, beef.
Hey, man. That's a Mongolian beef eater? Like, come on, guys. Okay, can someone read beef curtains?
All right.
I can't read
the resulting low-hanging
Heavy meta is from now on.
The resulting low-hanging, loose, flappy labia from multiple bangs of the female genitalia.
Read the quote. How do I use it in a sentence?
I was doing this slut the other day, and her beef curtains were hanging almost to her knees.
Okay, I'm a new show, brand new show. Urban Dictionary, that's it. We just read phrases. Oh,
God, I'll do Urban Dictionary, but I'll read it as Christopher Walken.
Oh, wow.
The fact that Urban Dictionary has opened up its audio component recently has been fucking hilarious, because it's all user-submitted content in the first place, and much how, like, you just, like, Google a word to hear its pronunciation, Urban Dictionary has now taken that one step further. So I submit to you the next inclusion. To simply be an audio test for your ears.
Oh, what is a meat wallet?
Do it.
A meat wallet.
A fat, stanking pair of pussy lips, often bigger than a kangaroo's. The meat wallet is usually dark brown in color and smells like 3-month-old roast beef. Oh, my God. What the hell? Wait, did someone even ask this, or did we discover this? I think we discovered this one. This is awesome, man. Wait, Trimble's?
Wow. This is what happens when Wizards of the Coast, take note. This is what happens when you leave us bored. Like, when you don't hear. Okay, well, I guess I can't talk shit to Wizards at this point. I'm like, right now, like, fucking Modern is, like, in this fucking panic because Treasures came out and so did Dig Through Time in the same fucking sense. Like, there's plenty of Magic shit to talk about, but we're like, but you know what? Let's just read Urban Dictionary.
Okay, I have a challenge, David. I want you to read Meat Wallet, but I want you to read the quote. I want you to read the quote in the movie trailer voice. Because I think, all right, hold I think on, this hold would on. Make an all awesome right. trailer.
You want me to read the...
The italicized text.
All right.
Trimble smacked his rocks off Grandma's meat wallet feverishly before shooting his moon cheese up the Great Divide.
It works. Robin, get over it.
Trimble smacked his rocks off Grandma's meat wallet feverishly before shooting his moon cheese up the Great Divide.
Robin, bring me your meat wallet right now. Oh, my God. Oh, man. Okay, well, I don't know if it's down. Oh, my God, this goes on forever.
I think we're digging our way up to the Twitter hole, if that's possible. Like,
at this point, yeah, we're going up the Twitter hole.
We are the bottom of the Twitter hole at this point. I don't even know.
I think we're just part of the assembly line that is the Twitter
hole.
Oh,
man.
Oh, God.
Wow. A loose meat sandwich.
Dicks and butts.
I'm gonna get it.
Okay. All right. So it is that time, folks. We are going.
Do we have any other relevant magic content to talk about at all?
Well, we can take a vote. No, I don't. Nope. Devil's Acrobat. What do you say? No, he's doing flips. He doesn't give a shit. We got a bartender here. What's the bartender say? Bartender doesn't give a shit what we talk about as long as we pay for the drinks. All right.
We still haven't gotten a waitress, though. That's a problem.
Well, Girl on Nerd says she's down.
Yes.
Hook it up, man.
Oh,
she's
right.
Down.
Well, I still have to arm wrestle.
There you go. Double duty.
We should have her on next week as a guest.
That'd there you fun. Go.
But, like, all she's allowed to
she
say
has to read from Urban Dictionary.
Following these last two weeks, I don't know how it's going to be like, to get guests.
Why do you think we got you guys? We gave up. It's too hard to get guests. That's why you guys are here. All right.
Yeah, we're all eggs.
All right, so we are going down the ever... Well, we're going up. We're climbing up this week the Twitter hole. We're going to get this...
The ever-loving
Twitter hole. We're going to start off really quick, rapid fire. Scotty McCallion, Mr. Scotty Mack, asks, what would you be prepared to do for a starring role in the Magic movie, and who would you play?
Oh.
Wow.
I totally should have. I read this earlier. I totally should have thought about about it before right now.
Well, we know it takes you time. I would say off the top, I'll go first. I'd say, well, first of all, let's start off, who would I play? I would think I could play a decent... man, you know what? For some special effects, I could play Dommy Rod. I think I would be a good Dommy.
You a goblin?
No, I don't think I could be the goblin.
I didn't know you walked around shirtless that often.
No, but I think I could play... I could that or Venser, but Venser's kind of a metrosexual. I think Slick Jagger could play that really well. shit, I don't know. Oh, well, I guess it doesn't...
Now, I don't want to derail this too much, but have you guys talked to anyone who's into this new lumber sexual?
What the fuck? Okay, sorry, Scotty. We're going to postpone your question. Lumber sexual? What is a lumber?
All right, so the 2000s had metrosexual, which you're all familiar with at this point, I assume. Right?
Oh, I thought this was some sexual move where you, like, threw your board down.
No, this is lumber sexual, an actual way of life.
So let me guess. A metrosexual is like straight guys trying to like dress like gay guys. So lumberjacks now are what men are like, fuck, trying to look good all the time. We're going to look like Jay Bush walked out of a forest with a plaid jacket. That's what a lumbersexual is? Or is it a guy who just likes lumberjackets?
Pretty much. I mean, I definitely think like low cut flannel with a nice tuft of chest hair coming out the top. I think that in conjunction with a nice beard and warm skull cap is pretty much the key definition of lumbersexual. But apparently it's all the rage down in Southern California right now.
Fuck.
What you're saying is I'm a lumbersexual?
Yeah, I could just literally put on my plaid vest I have right here and just show up, be hot shit.
Right, straight lazy men are really taking back the night, the way I look at it. We've had this entire decade of pluck out all your hairs and do your nails and shit like that, and now it's like, fuck it, I'm just not going to shave for a week and wear plaid, and I'll be fucking amazing.
Yeah, dude, ever since I started my...
Oh, I feel like I should have been a part of this conversation.
I don't want to know what you were doing. You weren't, the way that you said.
I don't know, he was checking his meat wallet.
I was just jerking off in the corner.
He was just thumbing through his meat wallet.
Yeah, I was just pooping and then jerking off. Okay. I just pooped and jerked off like that.
Oh, fast. Jesus Christ.
I ran inside real quick to grab my booze, and then my son needed to hang something up on his wall, and I had to explain to him why I wasn't doing it right now. And then I came back, and you guys were talking about fucking plaid and fucking beards and
lumber
how sexy
sexual.
They are. And I'm kind of worried about you guys. Lumber sexuals.
Yeah, no. TSG brought up lumber sexual. Apparently, that's what I am, because he said a beard and a skull cap and...
Plaid anything.
That is what I wore yesterday.
That's what he...
And that's it. All I wore was a beard and a skull cap. Nothing else. I did have that tuft of chest hair you spoke of too. So, pretty.
It's an important.
That was pretty sweet.
Well, getting back to the Twitter hole question, what would be we prepare to do? So here's the thing. I don't know if I'd be that excited to star in the movie, but I would definitely like to write the movie. But I would.
Cameo. I want.
Okay. If it. Oh well.
I'd play Jace. I'd play Jace. And I'd fight somebody. I'd do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, if that, I mean, obviously they're gonna probably ask. I don't.
That'd be kind of awkward. They're like, they're all right, dude. Fucking, you know, whatever it is you're gonna do. Like, I mean, whatever you're gonna do to be in this movie, they're like, all right, we're gonna give you the Jace role, and then you fight somebody. Like, that's not really Jace. Like, Jace kind of stands back and you know casts spells and
hey,
shit.
He's I'd use my mind.
He's not gonna be like, oh,
I got skills.
I'm Jace. The motherfucking mind's gone.
Fine. Fuck it. I take an IQ test. I'm smart.
Okay, but it's not okay. Listen, they're saying what would you be prepared to do? So I don't. I think
that's what I just said. I would fight somebody. Okay. I would fight for the
How
role.
How about this? How about this?
Fuck. What are you supposed
oh,
to
fighting for the role. David. I thought you were saying like I'd be Jace and then I would fight somebody.
No,
in the
I didn't
movie.
Say I would like be on the movie and I'd be some Jace Jedi or some shit. I'd say I'd fight somebody to get the role.
Okay, so
Jace.
Can I pose this question? So
oh, okay,
you want.
Not if you're going to put me in an Armenian fucking assembly line.
I was going to say, you walk in, there's a casting room, the guy comes out, he's like, okay, this is what we're doing. I got an assembly line in the back, there's a girl, but not in this room, okay? We're casting for Jace, go. Like, come on, would you do that? It's a $2 million payday, and you're going to be Jace.
Pull that number
You'd
out
be
your
king
ass.
Of the nerds. You'd be a lumbersexual.
No.
See?
I apparently I already am a lumbersexual.
I mean,
without even trying.
I feel like he'd be better off as Garrick.
Ah, yeah, there you go, Garrick.
In that
I forgot
sense.
About Garrick. Yeah, they're the easy one.
I mean, if
I'm not,
like,
Like, I'm tall, but I'm not, like, beefy whatsoever.
Yeah, but you're bigger than me, so you guys are all fucking Garrick to me.
Yeah, everybody's Garrick to Kevy.
You're, like, 6 foot tall and, like, 120 pounds.
He's Timmy.
Hey, I'm a solid 150.
Yeah, I'm a...
yeah. No, yeah, you guys know where I'm going with it.
Yeah, yeah. Kevy would have to be, obviously, Tybalt. I mean, come on.
Just to end this real quick for my end of it, like I would give the casting agent my phone number is what I would do to be in the movie. And the character that I would play is I would be that cameo of Tybalt where I show up at the beginning dressed like Tybalt and
get killed
and I die. Yeah. Right.
You're
the
first one killed.
And that's it.
Yeah, easy payday, and then you get residuals.
We can change that stereotype of, like, you know the black guy's the first guy to die in horror movies, but, like, the skinny fucking white devil guy is the first guy to die in magic movies.
Oh, the white devil always needs to die. Goddamn white devil.
What about you, TSG? Mm-hmm. How are you repping this one?
I think I would definitely go for the role of a young Urza. I think that would definitely be where I'd want to be, especially if I... got to cast my redheaded girlfriend.
You arrogant.
I mean, when I think of a magic movie, I go all the way back to the beginning. None of this new age planeswalker bullshit. It's all old school to me.
You know how they're gonna roll this magic movie, though.
Oh, it's gonna be sad. That's why I'm not worried. Like, I would have this conversation with the production team. I'd be like, look. This is, if I'm in this movie, this is the movie I want to make. And they'd be like, yeah, but that's not really worth the $1 billion empire we're going for. So good day,
all
sir.
Right, Hitchcock, we need to leave.
Yeah, exactly.
Is their minds. But, which is sad because I would want to be Urza from the Brothers of War, for those of you that are familiar with that story. And then I would
kind
just
of
cast,
view myself as a young Brando.
Oh, easily.
See, now here's the big question. Is, like, do we go like this? Like, exactly what TSG's going with this question is, like, you know, if you could fucking, you know, since we don't know what the fuck the movie is about, but we're all pretty sure it's going to be like Khanza Tarkir forward. So, like, do you go the deeper story way back, or do we just go the fucking M15 story with the main planeswalkers and shit like that? That you know that they're going to do because that's going to sell 100%. Fucking tickets to movie theaters. And so where, like, do we go with the fucking the good answer?
I think what you do in this one is you play the role of the young pubescent boy who gets dragged into the planeswalker war and through time is taught all the special moves of the planeswalkers behind and in front of closed doors and maybe involved in several assembly lines. I'm not sure. But
in
all seriousness, though, if it was me, if I was trying to market this movie, like, you want to, you know, pay homage to the magic community, but at the same time, you want to make it to where you're going to draw in new people. So honestly, right. I would say, like, the main character should be like a new planeswalker that they create after the movie. And it's his or her journey to become
there. You go,
planeswalker. Like,
yes.
Spark igniting, and they're like, you know, tutored by Jace. Some of the well-known
planes you
Jace,
want to cast
Tezzeret, Elspeth, right. Whatever else. And so that's how you pay homage to the existing sure. community, but at the same time, you draw
story.
In the newer crowd, and then that planeswalker can be created like a couple sets down the line after the movies come out. That's how I
Boom.
Would do it, because cool. because magic, like, you know, like TSG said, go old school, go Urza.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
you're
too...
only gonna draw in like maybe 20% of the existing magic community. Most of them are coming into this community well after that. They might have heard of Urza, but they know nothing of the storyline or anything like that. And this story of magic is going to continue. Each set that comes out, they're going to continue to make content and backstory and everything else. So you can start in present day or just after, and then you can continue with future movies down the line. And if you incorporate a new character, you can mm-hmm. choose where that goes. It's not already.
The only other thing they can do is they tell Jace's like origin that. Story. And that.
Fuck.
He's the key. He's Batman. Guy. He's Superman. He's the character.
Fuck
dude.
That blue bitch.
I agree with your point. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, Jace can make one of those fucking Leonard Nimoy fucking like cameo appearances in the new Star Trek, like. Where he just shows up, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I'm you from way back then." Like, you can have Jace show up and just be like that elder that's just like, "Oh man, I'll tell you what, back when I was mind sculpting, oh shit was crazy." And then like the new guy's just like, "Oh yeah, that's neat and all, but like, I mean, now there's treasure crews. We can do whatever we want to. We just use your
he's on a boat. He's on a boat. Jace so. Like, man, this sucks."
Yeah, Jace just shows
ride?
Up on a fucking, like, an old-ass boat with a bunch of lights
now
hanging off.
Now everybody draws
like,
cards.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah, now it's for everybody.
All we gotta do is kill some people, throw them in a graveyard, bam, we're casting spells.
No, but that's what I would do if I had, creative control of the MTG movie. I would make mm-hmm. it, a fan favorite in the fact that I would incorporate a lot of well-known, existing planeswalkers and archetypes and, storyline. But it, at the same time, I would make it open to new players and new people in creating a new character that they can follow along with and feel like they started at the beginning of that.
God, I'm really hoping like this new planeswalker because it depends on where they go. Like either they're gonna fucking put some thought into it and put some real shit into it, or like we're just going for ratings. I'm really hoping like this new planeswalker you speak of isn't just like a fucking dude in a tank top that says YOLO swag with some fucking sunglasses on. It's just all what? And like he's the new super planeswalker because we're like we gotta get the young audience in here.
Yeah, well, don't.
And,
I don't think you're gonna see that.
hey, I think that the YOLO swag planeswalker would be fucking sweet because he's probably gonna have some interesting abilities. He's probably gonna draw the younger crowd into the game. There's gonna be a sweet ass fucking duel deck. There's like a sweet ass duel deck that's just called like Burn versus YOLO Swag, and like it's gonna be, awesome.
Burn versus what was it? Beef curtains? That'd be awesome.
Yeah, like whenever a direct damage spell is cast, against you, that you just put on your YOLO Swag sunglasses and then shield that shit, and then like you plus one, and then like. Your minus two planeswalker ability is just gonna be like all swag, and it's just fun.
Wow.
Like just like ain't nothing.
This is the worst idea since The Simpsons brought Poochie on. I'll just so there. All right, so we are that.
All right, moving
that
on.
That was supposed to be a rapid fire. All right,
it's gonna be YOLO swag, oh my comma, God. All the fucks I don't is going to be the fucking.
All right, I'm.
YOLO swag, comma, all the fucks. All
right, I'm getting back under the train. We're gonna go fast now. Les Kersha says, shout out to one of the coolest guys in Brizzy. Sweet Twitter tag, Zombie Huggles. So shout out to you. Boom, right there. Martin Burnett's got an interesting question.
That's not
rapid. Hey man, I'm just rapping. I'm rapiding through the shit. Okay, Justin Waterfeld, Lunchbox 601 says, what does Eldrazi sex look like? Wow. We talked about.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's been made thousands of times over in Japan. Already.
Well, isn't that what Mongolian beef eating is all about? Anyways,
well, but yeah, like what is Kaza like, dude? He's just, I don't get none. I'm not Emrakul. I don't have any tentacles. Whatever.
No,
like,
he's the
Kozilek's got to get in there, and then it looks like something more like Saw or Hostile.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to. You know what? Whatever it looks like, my eyes are closed. I don't want anything to do with that. So, boom, we're moving on. Actually, should we stay with the sex, or do we go?
No. All right.
Let's get.
We'll do some rapid fire ones. We'll do some rapid fire ones. At Manadork, what is your spirit animal?
That's a good one.
You guys are not rapid fire at all here.
It's not.
I would say my spirit animal is a polar bear. Boom.
A cat.
All right.
House cat.
A domestic cat. Everybody saw that coming. You house pussy. Cat. TSG?
I'm not sure. I like this bear concept, especially the snow bear one, but I don't think that works.
You're using it a hockey stick? Come on, no.
No, I'm probably some kind of beaver.
Really, is a beaver? I could get down with that.
Oh god.
I'm a pussy. TSG's a pussy. Who else is a pussy?
All right. I'm apparently a pussy too. I'm gonna have to go with the tiger. That's my kids. They say.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say a clam.
If it was my choice, it was gonna be a dolphin. Right. Honestly, no joke.
I like it.
They're smart. They're badasses. They have sex
and they
for
kill
fun,
sharks.
So I'm a dolphin.
And did you know? Yeah.
There's this one that had sex. It was that like
they also get high.
She had like a rainbow. There's a dolphin jumping over. A rainbow tattooed on her ankle, and that's what I think.
All right. It's my choice. I'm a
okay.
Just that's my favorite animal. It's my favorite.
Just a warning. Do not Google or YouTube how quickly a dolphin can come. Don't.
All right. Won't do it.
Don't.
Because I did once, and it wasn't cool. All right. So,
all right.
Go.
All right.
Am I ready to win?
All right. At Xenagos Blood Moon. What animal/mythical creature would you ride into battle?
Well, shit, it could be a mythical creature?
Yes, an animal/mythical creature.
Okay, I'm down with this.
Hard not to say like a dune scene.
Oh, that's fucking, look at that. Some asshole goes first, destroys it for everyone.
Goddamn eater of days. Jeez. Over there.
That's what I get for having someone steal food.
Oh, horse. What the fuck?
Put your eater of days back in your
pants. Fuck. The dune sandworm. We've got sandworm sign. We got worm sign.
Apparently, TSG's going to ride his dick into battle.
Well, if he's that big, he wins, man. That's his bet.
With a Dodgers jersey on or a Maple Leafs jersey on, he's just all, yeehaw, here we go.
All right, Kevy, what animal/mythical creature would you ride into battle?
I already got mine.
Robot zombie camel.
Robot zombie camel. We should have seen that
very
coming.
Good.
Thank you,
very
Dr.
Good.
Electric Pussy. All right.
Matthew, I would definitely be riding in some type of harness that was attached to a devil's acrobat.
A devil's acrobat. There you go. I mean,
you know you're just running into a wall, right?
You see my Twitter handle. I would
like,
obviously ride into battle. Ride into battle as a dragon.
Done. So. Peter Capote.
I thought you were just right.
that's bad. Peter Capazio Blight Bro says, does everyone in Canada expect free Wi-Fi wherever they are? Fucking right, we do. Next question moving.
I don't know what.
I have no idea either, but here we go. Damage Direct says something you told someone that you realized was a horrible idea years later. Something you told someone that you realized was a horrible idea years later.
Oh, I got this. Check out my podcast. It's called Heavy Meta.
Stole my
answer. That's pretty bad. Okay, you know what? You know what? This actually is true. So I told my wife when she said, hey, what are you going to do with this magic thing? And I'm like, I'm going to start this podcast. And she's like, oh, that sounds cool. Are they going to, like, do with a bunch of nerds? And I'm like, nah, I don't know. He's like, it's this guy.
I got this guy, right? I got this dude that I met on the internet.
And she's like, okay, so should I go check it out? I'm like, yeah, fucking check it out. He's hot. He's cool, man. You're going to love it. And she's like, yeah, that guy's fucking crazy. So, yeah, that is something. You know what you do if you start a magic podcast? You just say, yeah, I cast with a bunch of, like, you know, computer programmers. And they do it from Nerdland. you don't show them your Twitter feed. TSG.
Let me cut in before I really figure out what's going on. Something I said that ended up
to
being
somebody
bad.
That you
it's basically he already.
Yeah. Years later, you regret. Saying
he already
it
did.
Him.
It's DJ Diddlefoo. You're right there. Oh.
No. That was what was said to him.
I mean, this is one of those scenarios where years from now I regret saying that at this time, depending on who you're
bringing
into
up DJ
again
Diddle Poops.
Exactly, exactly.
You can't regret that. That's
joy to the
joy
world.
And entertainment to thousands of people.
Yeah. When a couple years down the road, she's all, "Oh, Tristan, how the fuck are you doing? You know what? I'm rich as fuck. I'm a very giving person, but just by some weird turn of events, I happen to listen to this little podcast that you do, and now you can eat a dick. Swords and Plowshares, eat a dick."
Look, TSG, don't feel bad.
You lose.
Yeah,
all
don't
of that
feel
money.
Bad. Do you know how many women out there right now are like shitting and like masturbating and feeling proud that?
I don't know.
They know that. They know. They're not the
you
only
will
one.
Soon. You're gonna really get emails. You're gonna get inundated with like, "Oh my god, I never thought of that until you said it." Why do I even date men? What? You son of
I'm
a
gonna
bitch.
Go fat my beef curtains right now.
This podcast is
you try to live in a world without regrets, so you're never like, "Man, why did
yeah that's where I'm at." Like, I can't think of anything that I regret setting years later. Like, have you seen the line of
probably,
me?
I could probably think of a time where I was like, "Yeah, Tarmogoyf can't get any more expensive than this. I might as well sell these." I mean, that's a thing that's happened a non-zero number of times.
Yeah, but that's I like your beef curtains. I think you just own that shit, man.
Everybody likes TSG.
Oh, jeez. And we're moving on.
The best in the biz.
Here I was. Yes, he's going to say something.
Let's be honest. That's why he's on the podcast.
Okay, so we're doing this rapid fire. Like, the Twitter hole is deep and wide tonight. And smells like a bunch of beef curtains. Jonathan Richmond, Norbert 88 says, "What is the best pizza you've ever had?" The best pizza I've ever had was the first pizza I ever ate. Boom.
Mine would have to be, I can't even remember. I think it's the California Pizza Kitchen in San Luis Obispo. It was fucking amazing. Ooh. There was also a place, and I can't remember the name of it, in San Francisco area that I ate, and it was like a cabin near the beach that had like just amazing like oven, you know, like wood oven cooked pizzas. That was absolutely fantabulous. So if anybody in that area knows what I'm talking about, that place.
Kevy, pizza.
PSG, go, because I got to fucking find the name of this place.
He's doing research.
I don't know if I can name a place. Best
you don't have to name the place.
Probably something with like the mozzarella balls melted on top. I definitely want to say I had this pizza in Southern California, Santa Barbara. I mean, to me, like, food tasting has a lot to do with circumstance. Like, the best meals I've ever eaten have been when you're like out in nature camping or just had a near-death experience and then bite into something. I think a lot of
and you're going deep
food
on this one.
Tastes a lot better depending on
yeah,
the
yeah, I mean, shit. I'm about to die and someone shoves, like, some beef curtains at me, I'm like, damn, those are good. I could be the last thing I eat.
Yeah. There was definitely a time where I remember my friends and I, and again, like, I trust these guys. They are NASA-rated road racers. They handle a car, so I did not feel super fearful at the time. But we were on these back roads in Northern California, and they found a super hilly section. And we were trying to meet up with somebody's wife. We were heading to dinner or something. But we got in the section, and it was really late. I was like, I don't think anyone's out here. I think if we really tried hard, we could get air in this car. And long story short, we jumped fucking, I don't know, like an Acura TL and with three grown men in it.
Long story short, we jumped like an Acura TL.
And the car never worked again.
We almost peeled out at the end of the straightaway on the road because we went a lot further than we thought we were going to go. But after my heart rate dissipated and we got to the Outback Steakhouse we were going to, I swear to God, that's the best piece of meat I've ever eaten in my entire life.
That is a quote. That is a quote that is being tattooed on some guy right now.
Probably in their lower back region.
All right, Kevin.
Also, BJ Brewery.
I got it. It was Raj Pete. Oh.
No, no, that's cool. I was just going to say BJ Brewery's buffalo chicken pizza is absolutely amazing. That was one of the best pizzas I've ever had.
Nice.
Plus BJ.
I got it's yeah, plus BJ's. Like there's blowjobs in the bathroom.
Oh. It's fucking,
no, I had a garage pizza is what it's called. It's in downtown LA. It was like the best pizza I've ever had. But like much like TSG was saying, like it all kind of comes down to maybe the situation. Maybe it's like you're hungry as balls. They took for fucking ever to get our pizza out because they fucked it up twice. But it was the best pizza ever. I'd heard lots of good shit about this. This is in downtown LA. We got actually like a we were being courted by a record label and they asked us to come down and see a show. So three of us got put up in a hotel room in downtown LA and we basically just had to go to a show. And then when we got done with the show and we were plenty drunk, we went to this place called Garage Pizza. And it is like the most fucking like indie punk rock pizza joint I've ever fucking seen in my life. There's a bunch, it's downtown LA, so basically everybody hates you. Like, they're assholes. Everybody in the building is an asshole, except for the people that were working there. We're surprisingly fucking sweet and nice. But it was probably the best pizza I've ever eaten in my entire life. So if you're ever in downtown LA, Garage Pizza. I had to look it up on fucking Google and find the place, but Garage Pizza.
Nice.
You can get hooker lips and blow.
Oh, all right. Yep. Continuing on.
Except for the thing. Here's the pizza. The sausage, like this is what we came up with though. The sausages, like the sausage pieces on your pizza, literally look like assholes. Every single one of them. And so it's called asshole pizza in the band for a long time. It was really good. Anyway, go ahead.
Is asshole pizza another thing I should Urban Dictionary? Because I'm not sure.
No, don't do it.
Okay, so Pie Brand says, what is the optimum floor to throw a cat off such that it can neither land on its feet nor fly like a squirrel? I would say the fourth floor.
I don't think it's the floor. Oh, I think it's the velocity at which you
That's true. I've thrown a few cats in my life, and even as high up as six floors, they will eventually turn over. I think if you grab them by one leg, though, and flip them like a frisbee, you can get them to spin really fast, so.
I just went on fucking Amber Alert, like, last week because my cat was missing for 2 days. So if I ever catch you throwing a cat, I will unleash 1,000 bullets on you.
That does actually reminds me of a story we were going to talk about last week that we may have time for now. But I will say the inverse of this.
Have much time for it.
I remember my drunk roommates and I were trying to test the theory. You know, like it's like cats always land on their feet, right?
Yes. Suppose.
Okay, so.
It's an urban myth.
If you take the obvious, you drop them from up, you know, from the second story of a building, they'll be fine. They'll land on their feet. We did the inverse of that. We kept – what we did was we – and again, we were drunk, and yeah, I feel bad about
this. About 3 inches from the ground.
Yeah, so, like, we started at, like, a foot, no problem. And the thing is, like, in order to get an accurate sample, we had to take the cat and with both hands hold back feet and front feet. So I really wish we had recorded video of this because it was really funny. And the cat's name was the dude. The dude was pretty lackadaisical about the whole thing, so – he didn't really care. But I can distinctly remember, like, holding him and standing over him being like, okay, this is – he's, like, right above the ground. He's going to fall on his back. And he does it. He manages to rotate in midair. But, again, Kevy already spoiled it. So when we finally figured it out, at about 3 inches off the floor, the cat just very sadly lands on his back. And it has this reaction like, this has never happened before in my entire life.
Yeah,
what the hell is this?
About
what happened to me? Yeah. Well, more like – it was almost a point of confusion where it's like – but. This doesn't happen. What just happened? This doesn't happen. I don't land on my back. What the hell?
Wow. All
right. Yeah. All right. Moving on. At Mitchell Dietz. Fuck, marry, kill your fellow.
Oh man.
Host. Shit's about to get sexy in her.
Didn't we do this like every time?
Penis symbol.
Look, you know what? Where's the other thing? Should we ban or unban fuck, marry, kills? Ban. They need to go away for a while. You can't just give that shit away. It's like, you can't just jerk off on someone's face every day. It just gets old.
I disagree with that, but, you know.
That was an interesting choice. All right.
I love the fuck, marry, kills, but the, you gotta get more into it. You gotta do this better.
I don't know.
All right, you have been vetoed, Mitchell Dietz, for lack of imagination.
Yes.
And let's move
like,
on.
What was it last? We got stuck on a fucking desert island together, and we had to figure the shit out.
All right, there was a really good one here about drinking. So Josh Knight, Steamflogger Josh says, who's the most notable person you've ever drank with, and why isn't it Christopher Rush and I in New Jersey? Well, because we suck and didn't go. That's number one. Who's the most notable person I've had a drink with?
I'm gonna go Maddie Studios.
Does it have to be an alcoholic beverage?
Well, yeah. I mean, well, no. We can be liberal on this. We can be liberal.
All right. I had a drink with Adam Sandler.
Ah. Nice.
Oh, yeah. That's fucking sweet. That's way better. I was gonna go with Maddie.
Yeah, that is not that interesting.
Well, like, for a while here, like, because a lot of stuff gets filmed out here at our petroglyphs and other stuff. I got to be on the set of a Victoria's Secret's Angels commercial.
Nice.
When I was a kid. But I didn't have any drinks with them, so, but I did have
you didn't have a set of, you didn't have the, like, you didn't have the testicles to do it?
I didn't have the cognac, my balls hadn't dropped yet, like, you know, the mood wasn't there. So basically, I sat around drooling. And, yeah, that was about it. So I didn't have a drink with the Angel models, but I did have a drink with Adam Sandler a couple years later when he was filming something.
Nice.
Right here.
Well, the most interesting I don't even know if it was interesting, but it was fucking weird as shit. My cousin, and my uncle and, they've been on film sets. They do, you know, all kinds of shit. They're stagehands and fucking set deck and all that. So a lot of times they're like, you know, hey Matt, come down to the set, come hang out and shit and say hi and that. And they were working on a film called Godsend. This was about, oh Jesus Christ, I don't know, 8 or 9, maybe 10 years ago. And Robert De Niro, Greg Kinnear, and some other famous chick was in this film. And my cousin, he's like, hey man, it's 9:30 at night. You should come down right now. We're downtown Toronto. We're at this bar. And he doesn't tell me anything. He's like, you should come down. So I'm like, oh, I guess that, you know, he's after work and I'll come by and say hi. So I get there, go into this bar. I'm looking around. I'm waiting like half an hour at the bar. I'm like, there's nobody fucking here. What the hell's going on? Call his cell phone. And he's like, dude, we're in the back room. You got to ask the waiter. I'm like, okay. So he's like, okay, party of this. Okay. For that. And he brings me down. We get into this like underground, like, private room, and I go in, and fucking Robert De Niro is sitting there with a fucking glass of, I don't know, scotch or something. Greg Kinnear.
Did you just fucking jerk off?
No, this is,
face?
No.
You should be like, oh.
No, because no, I'm not starstruck ever. I don't even give a shit, right? So they
oh, me either.
This is funny. So they sit us all down there, right? And I don't know, over the course of like the last 45 minutes, I got stuck, like as people moved around and went to the bathroom, I'm sitting right beside Robert De Niro, right? And he is, like everyone is talking industry shit, and I'm like, okay, this is cool, I'm like the only non-person on the set, right? And so, so my cousin's like, hey, you should get a picture with Robert De Niro. And I'm like, this is gay, don't do this to me. And he's like, no man, put your arm around him and get a picture with Robert De Niro. And I'm like, nah, you know what? I'm not. And I was trying to be polite. And I'm like, look, I'm not really interested in that. And that's what I said, right? Entire room just stops. No ice in glasses, nothing. The entire room dead quiet. Robert De Niro looks at me and he says to me, he's like, why don't you want a picture with me? And I'm like, it's not that I don't want a picture. It's just I'm trying to be respectful of, you know, you. And he's like, well, that's really,
you know, the thing and the
no,
thing
but he's like, well,
whatever.
He goes, you know what? That's really fucking disrespectful. And I think you should leave. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I got kicked out. Yeah, I got kicked out. I had a drink sitting next to Robert De Niro. Didn't say a word. And then I got told to leave. And then, like, the AD, he's like, hey, man, get out of here. They, like, my cousin's like, hey, man, I tried to help you. But, you know, you slapped Robert De Niro in the face is what you did. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So apparently I got the story down the road. For my cousin, he's like, yeah, so the whole thing about him is he hates if you bug him, but if someone, like, says, you know, get your picture, he's very insulted, like, if you t- turn it down, right? Because this is like what everyone looks forward to. It's like a kind of like a Sinatra thing. I was like, oh my god, that's fucking retarded. So that's the most interesting person I've ever had a drink with, I guess.
And
it's a weird tale.
In the same night, like there's a bar in Hollywood called the Rainbow Room, which I know sounds.
That sounds like other things we were talking about earlier.
But no, like the Rainbow Room is like, you know, I forget which fucking song it is. God damn, it's not November. There's a Guns N' Roses video that's fucking filmed at the Rainbow Room. It's the place that you go. It's the place that people go in, like, I guess in the rock and roll scene. It's where you go. There's goddamn famous people there all the time. And so every time we play a show down in the Hollywood area, like on the Sunset area, like we end up going to the Rainbow Room because, like, fuck it, why not? Like, it's just it's an iconic rock and roll spot. And it's a shitty little bar, but like I literally in the same night, I had like I don't know in like dance music. I don't know how much you guys are into it, but like fucking Paul Oakenfold was like there, and not like he
did
didn't,
you
like,
see my vine?
Well. Yeah, I did see your vine. I think we know what's going on there. No, like I had like so like Paul, I didn't share a drink with somebody, but like in the same vein, like I was sitting there trying my damnedest to get a hold of a fucking drink, get a hold of the fucking bartender, and I like just freaking the you know just sitting at the bar like oh hey like holding my hand up like I'm you know a fourth grader like trying to ask a question to the teacher like hello like this place is fucking beat packed. I didn't realize it the whole time. Like I knew who the guy was, but I didn't realize from the back of his head because you know I haven't had sex with him. I didn't realize from the back of his head who this guy was, and it was Paul Oakenfold. Finally turns around and says, hey, did you need me to get the bartender? I was like, yeah, I'd appreciate that. And then, like, a buddy of mine comes up and taps me on the shoulder. He's like, you know who that is? I'm like, no, I have no idea. I'm trying to get a drink right now. Leave me the fuck alone. And he's just like, it's fucking Paul Oakenfold. I was like, oh, shit. And then, like, when he turned back around, like, you know, he kind of gave it, like, when he flagged down the bartender and then turned back around, gave me a smile, just like, hey, there you go. I was like, oh, son of a bitch. You should have just flagged her down to get your own fucking drink. But, you know, you flagged the bartender down to give me a drink. And that was very fucking sweet of you. And I appreciate that. So I was like, I'm not normally starstruck as far as, like, you know, bigger personalities. But, like, when there's somebody that I give a shit about, like, I'm a little more starstruck. So I couldn't really say anything. I was like, The same night we're there, I'm there with my fucking drummer from my old band, Tony. And Bam Margera is there.
Bam.
And like the like half of the Jackass crew. And so Bam's there and fuck a bunch
was
of people
the
are there and they're running around because we had gone the Jack and the ass. But only parts of both of them.
The ass was drinking.
No,
jacks.
Like it was.
Got it.
It was like there was like Bam, Ryan Dunn was there, fucking what's his name? Brandon Novak was there. But, like, it was just, like, we had gone, like, we were there that night to see him play live. And after, like, you know, him was done, everybody went back to the Rainbow Room. And so we're at the Rainbow Room, and there are a bunch of members from, like, him there. Like, I got to meet a bunch of them and sit there and talk with them, and it was good shit. But
you gotta
as
meet
this
him?
Is going on, I got to meet him. I got to meet him. No, I got to meet everybody but like
he showed me his beef curtains and everything.
as this is happening though, like you know, like Tony, my old drummer, is like, hey, let's go outside, let's go have a cigarette. So we're sitting outside having a cigarette and fucking Bam Margera comes blazing through. Now, one, the guy is fucking 3 feet tall. Like he is like barely allowed to be on this podcast. Like he's
I was gonna bring up when I met Van Damme, and that's the same story.
Oh, Van Damme's awesome.
Yeah, Bam Margera is extremely fucking short. Tony, my old drummer, is basically he's like 6 foot. He's like my height, but he's built a lot bigger than me. So Tony is not the type to be like. I'm a little more like, oh man, that's Bam Margera. That's kind of cool. Like I'm not gonna bug him. You know, and Tony's like, "Oh, Bam Archer!" and grabs him and just hustles him in, and he's just like, "Come on, man, let's get a picture." Fucking Bam's eyes were like the size of fucking pancake plates. They like, I swear, he's and his pupils too. So I'm pretty sure he was just fucking yacked out on blow. But he's just like, "Oh God, there's a very large man that caught me without a security guard or whatever." And he's just like, "Come on, man, get a picture." And I was just like, "Oh man, Bam feels real uncomfortable right now, but okay, I'll take a picture anyway." And so I took a picture with my friend, hanging out with Bam, or not hanging out with Bam, just accosting Bam, and taking a picture of them together. And I got to also in the same night meet like some of my fucking heroes from Van Ham. And Paul Oakenfold flagged down a fucking bartender for me to get a, to buy a drink. So basically, if you ever have the chance to go to fucking Hollywood, go to the fucking Rainbow Room, because you're gonna meet famous people.
Whacked out on blow.
You're perpetuating the stereotype that if you live in California, that you meet
that's
famous
true.
People, like you hang out with famous people. I was at like in high school. In high school, I can't understand what you're saying.
I live in the same town as you, but I mean, this also might have to do with the whole, like, I play in a band, I go do fucking shows and shit like that, but I've met ridiculous amounts of famous people, and usually I just leave them the fuck alone, because I'm like, oh, I don't want to be that guy. Eh.
I've met a couple, but, all like, right. Like, they think that we hang out, like, that if you live in California, like, in high school, I used to be, like, hardcore, like, I was a Christian, like, I went to this huge festival, like, in Michigan called Day One, like, bought this, like, rented out the Silver Dome, there was, like, 50,000 of us, and, like, I was in line at some tent to, like, meet a band or whatever, I can't remember, but I was talking to a friend, and then these girls behind us heard that we were from California, they're like, "Oh, you're from California? Like, have you met movie stars?" And I was just like, "Where are you from?" And they're like, "Oh, we're from Kentucky." I was like, "You're from Kentucky? Do you drive your tractor to school?" And no joke, they're like, "Well, we don't, but some people do." And I was like, "Oh my God, I'm trying to make fun of you right now."
At a Christian event. Nice. Nice.
Yes. And they're like, "Do you surf?" And I was like, "Oh my God." I was like, "No, I live in a fucking desert. Like, I haven't seen a body of water bigger than my fucking pool."
Three of us live in California. I've met movie stars. You surf in a pool, and TSG is a Maple Leaf fan. So, shit.
He's a Which Canadian is ironic implant. Because, so
I would say probably the person I've most famously shared a drink with is not a sports celebrity in my eyes, not a movie celebrity in most public's eyes. I had a drink with Dan Boyle once. It was not super exciting.
Who?
Exactly. Exactly. Those California guys have no idea.
Oh my goodness. All right.
Nope. Not a clue.
So,
but I got to tell the story because he talked about Bam and how short he was. I was going to the movie and my dad's girlfriend went to this gym that was right next to it. She came over. She's like, "Hey, Jean-Claude Van Damme, who's in town for filming." I think it was called Desert Heat or Heat or something like that.
Oh, yeah, Desert Heat. I remember that shit.
Yeah. He was in town filming, and she's like, "He's working out right there." I talked to the manager. They said it was okay if, you know, you and your, you know, he was talking to my dad. She was talking to my dad, said, you know, your kids came in and met him. So I was like, holy shit. Like, Van Damme was like my hero growing up. Like, he was in all the fucking action movies, like Bloodsport, Double Impact, like, all of them. I was like, holy shit, we get to meet fucking Jean-Claude Van Damme. Hell yeah, we're doing this. So we go over there. I'm like 12 or 13 years old. I think at the time I'm like maybe 5'6", 5'8", somewhere in there. I'm relatively short in my family. We go into the gym and he's lying down on a bench and he's military pressing. He's dumbbell pressing. Huge dumbbells, like fucker strong. And I realized later it's because he's only lifting them 6 inches. But they introduce us like, "Hey, Jean-Claude Van Damme, you know, like, you know, here's some fans, they wanted to meet you, blah blah blah." He was really cool, he was gracious. he stopped. He put the dumbbells down. He stood up. I had to stop myself from laughing. My family is like, I'm the runt in my family at 6'2". Like, I'm the short one. My brother's 6'4". My little brother's 6'3". My dad, who is with us, is 6'7".
Holy shit.
Yeah, like, I'm the runt, and he stands up. I had to stop myself from laughing because I was towering over him at, like, 13 years old or 14 years old, and his bodyguard was this gigantic black
little guy.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would have said that except for I just saw him lifting dumbbells that weighed twice as much as me, so he's short, but he's in good shape.
He could still kick your ass.
He could probably still roundhouse me to oblivion. But what was hilarious was he was standing right next to his bodyguard, who was like 6'5", 6'6", and like 300-some-odd pounds, like just this huge black guy. And seeing them side by side was hilarious. And so I'm like shaking his hand like, oh, it's nice to meet you, you know, like, I'm a fan of your movies. I just didn't know that they, you know, used porno angles to make you look bigger. Like, but yeah, like that was pretty funny meeting him, just trying to, you know, not laugh at him, but. He was pretty cool, all things considered.
Not laugh at him.
That is fucking hilarious. So tonight we're going to end on probably the trickiest question we've ever faced. Josh Knight, once again, with the triple play, Steam Flogger Josh, trick question. The apple pie tastes overwhelmed. No, sorry. It is Jacob Brigden. it's not. Wait, where the fuck is this? Oh, okay, sorry.
Maddie's in his own world. He's just, oh, this is gonna be the wait. Who the wait? What the fuck just happened?
Oh man,
here?
I've been drinking.
Jacob.
No. I've been drinking Kraken. Okay, Jerry J M E E third Jamie third says there are two chairs. On one is an apple pie. On the other is a big black dick. You have to eat one and sit on the other. Choose. Now that first thing you're like, I'll eat the pie and sit. Oh wait, well hold on. No, I'll sit on the pie. Well, hold on a minute. That's a dirty little question there, Jerry.
I refuse to answer that. I veto that question.
No, man, you gotta choose.
Now I gotta ask. I mean, if we're gonna get into this, we're gonna get into this. I gotta ask. That big black dick sitting on the chair, is that attached to a grown ass man? Or is that just a big black dick sitting on?
Okay, well, as the rules to these questions, we have to clarify. So let us do this. You have to choose.
Yeah,
Is that like
a big deck, a big black dick just attached to like Terry Crews sitting in a chair and then a fucking apple pie in the other chair? Or are you talking like, oh, look, laying in the middle of that chair, the big black dick?
Well, he says there are two chairs. So on one is an apple pie, on the other. So I would assume he's saying it's probably a dildo. So let's.
If it's a dildo, I eat the dildo, I sit on the cherry pie. Like, that's done.
What are you talking about?
I mean, I feel like either way, I'm going to eat the pie and then I'm going to be like, I'm not going to fucking insert the penis into my anus to sit down.
You're just
going to
turn it sideways and sit on it.
Oh, fuck you. You knew what he meant. Like,
all right, fine. Okay, so.
You word lawyer, son of a bitch. That dick is going in your chocolate starfish if you sit on it.
If I'm going to sit on this dick, I'm going to sit on this dick.
Man, I'm letting...
Yeah, if I'm going to do it...
I am letting my beef curtains hang low for this one, man. That is just... Whew, I don't know. I guess I would... I'd probably... I mean, it's a dildo. Okay, so hold on. How bad is it?
If it's a dildo, you eat the dildo and you sit on the cherry pie.
Okay, well, why is it cherry?
Well, you said
I did not.
Pie,
I
you
said
bitch.
You're
Don't
making up shit. I says one is an apple
you,
pie.
When you edit this, when you
I said
edit
apple
this,
pie.
You
no.
listen. You said cherry
Fuck.
Pie.
Well, then maybe I'm too many fingers deep in cracking. But okay. It's an apple pie. Does that change anything?
I don't know why you.
It doesn't change. It doesn't pie. Matter. It doesn't matter. You sit on the pies. You eat the fake dick. If it's a real dick, fuck that. I kill myself.
I thought you just do your dance around the chair.
Yeah, I'm going to beat that dick. I'm going to beat that dick. I'm going to get it.
he sings it like it's so good. It's so real. Like, this is not something you do once. He has practiced that shit. That is in the mirror.
Hell yeah, that's my warm up before I diddle myself.
I could just see you every time you come out of the shower, you're just like, shower off. All right, let's dance. You're making peanut butter and jelly in the morning. You're just like, I'm gonna beat.
It just doesn't feel as good unless you do the dance. Like, you know, don't knock it till you tried it. And then once you tried it, knock it around a little bit.
Oh, that's good. I mean, I think Gumby's got it. There's no other way to do this. TSG, do you see an angle that we don't see?
I mean, all I can say is, in one of these scenarios, I get to eat, and the other one, I don't really get to eat. So I went. It seems pretty self-explanatory what you choose.
Either way, you're gonna get stuffed.
I
feel like it really comes down to, like, if we're talking about the seriousness about this question, like, you're either gonna have to take that dick in your butt, or you're gonna have to take that dick in your mouth. It's really hard to choose. Like, I don't know, man. I feel like I'm.
Kevin,
the only way out.
Kevin, why don't?
The only way out of it is I sit on the pipe. Like, if this is a real man's dick and it's just fucking, you know, hard as the day is long, just all here, you gotta come sit on this dick, or you gotta sit on that pie and you gotta eat the other one. Like, I feel like, I don't know, I probably sit on the pie and then just fucking bite into the dick like an asshole. Be like, if I'm gonna eat it, I'm gonna eat it.
Yeah, that's true.
And then, and like, and at least that's sustenance.
That's true. That's
protein.
True.
I mean, if I choice between being like,
all I gotta say is fuck whoever posted that. Question.
No shit. These are tricky questions.
Yeah,
now, Josh.
That's fair. I want to see in the fucking comments. I want to see your.
Okay, Josh had the best.
I want to see how you navigate that.
So Josh Knight he already answered the question on Twitter. He's like, trick question. The apple pie tastes overwhelmingly like dick. The dick, on the other hand, also tastes like dick. So, true, you lose either way.
That's not.
I guess.
That's not a valid answer.
Well, I could play devil's acrobat and I could.
I feel like he just assumed the dude sitting in chair one fucked the pie in chair two. Oh. And then, like, no, I don't know.
Well, now,
like,
hold on.
That was just.
Now, that changes the whole scenario there. Then there's just nothing you could do. There's no right or wrong.
Yeah, there is, right? You still just bite into the man's dick and be like, oh, hey, man, I'm sorry, I got to do this, but you're going to go down too. It's fucking, that's how you do it. You sit on the pie, because I guarantee you I'm not sitting on the dick. If I can sit on the dick, if I could sit on a man's lap like Santa Claus and be like, oh, yeah, I'm technically sitting on your dick, but I, you know, sorry about that. And if he's like, all right, well, you know, like, hey, you sat on the dick. Oh, okay, cool. You fucking got your way out of the question. That's fine. But if we're going to go the full force of it, they're like, oh, no, you can't sit on the dick without it going into your butt. I'm probably going to eat the dick with a fucking vengeance that you can't understand. And I'm going to sit on the pie so that when everything is all said and done, I can just drink a whole bunch of Purell and get rid of. And then not have anything in my butt except for maybe a little bit of whipped cream.
Well, I was going to end on that question, but Jeff Good, Low Guppy, probably has the winner. He says, I don't have a question, but after 103, I think Heavy Meta should have come at me, in brackets, with your dick out, bro, t-shirts. That definitely, you know, works for me. You guys, if you want to buy them, that's your call. I don't know.
We'll just do it. We'll do the picture of Kevin Metal with his shit tucked. Be like, come at me, bro. And the only reason we go with my picture is because we can't do video shirts.
Oh,
because if you had, I'll beat that dick, I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it on the front of your fucking t-shirt and it just says, come at me, bro. Nobody's going to come near it.
I mean, I don't know. That's one day we're very close to seeing an animated GIF on a shirt, and I'm saving that one for sure. You know what? Actually, I know you can make a Hallmark custom Christmas card. I wonder if I send them that audio clip.
Oh my god! How awesome! If fucking you
It's just all happy holidays from the Heavy Meta bunch. And then you open it up, just a picture of David just like mid swing and stuff. I'm gonna beat my dick. I'm gonna get it. I'm gonna get it.
Happy holidays. I'm gonna get it.
Oh, and this is the legacy that I leave.
It's absolutely.
Is you sharpen your tongue? I love you evermore, even after you're stung. We're pushing through the dirt, now we're ready to root. We're absolute.